It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia! Germany!
UK.
Africa!
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. April is gone. May is here. It is May Day. It is the first day of May, 2020. It's that day is auspicious for a number of reasons. Traditionally, May Day marks a celebration of the that goes back into the Middle Ages, if I'm not mistaken. It is also the national, the worldwide workers' day of recognition. Yes, it is the founding anniversary of my college fraternity. But for our purposes here at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion and broadcasting live from the fabulous Horn Studios, May 1st is the day that Agnes and I swore to love each other till death do us part. And so far, we've managed to do that. 27 years today, Agnes and me, married, children grown, grandchildren growing like weeds, one on the way, and it's like Gary Cooper in that movie about Lou Gehrig. I consider
myself
the luckiestest man and in the world. Yeah, that's the truth. So this is the horn for the first day of May 2020. And got thanks to send out, because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. Thanks very kindly to all our subscribers. Thank you to Rico. Thank you to our pals at Home Dirts. Thank you to Rusty. Thank you to Joseph. Thank you to Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent. Thank you to Robert. And thank you to John. Thank you very kindly to, let's see here. I don't want to miss anybody. And yet somehow I feel like I am. I know I'm missing somebody. I will pick it up. Because I don't like to miss anybody who is kind enough to help keep this program on the air.
But thank you. And thank you to our buddy Labor Man, Gary out in New Mexico, and Ralphs, and an anonymous contributor. Today is, of course, the first broadcast day of the month of May. That means Bruce's Memorial Challenge is on the table. There's $200 to double if our if we match, if we come up with the evening's fundraising goal, double your contributory dollars and help us keep things going here. And so actually we're down a little bit from the $200 thanks to Tom in sunny San Rafael, who is who's got some masks on the way for Lady B and her sister. Thank you, Tom. And thank you to, again, Robert. And thank you to John. Thanks all the way around. Thank you to Jeremy. What that all means is we've only got about $125 to go to meet Bruce's Memorial Challenge for this first day of May. It's also Friday on the front porch here in about, 54 minutes or so. I'll wander down the garden path to the old holler tree where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table, that old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and wherein Sparky keeps order, moderating the Friday on the front porch extraordinary, ordinary conversation. If you'd like to be part of it, well, just head on over to headon.live and click on the button there that's that big and obvious, and it'll carry you also down the garden path and into the old holler tree, and you'll be gathered with us around the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. Steve in New York says, a cowbell to the entire Horn family. We've really been good on the fundraising. Yes, we got through April. We're going to, and so now we can anticipate there will be, there will still be a Horn in June if we can get through May. So that's awesome. Thank you indeed. Thanks for the anniversary wishes. Thank you, Flavio. Thank you, Lee in New York. Much obliged. There is a slight chance we'll see the sun tomorrow, and if so, Agnes and I might go out and, unlike the President of the United States, not stare directly at the sun, but at least feel its warming rays on our hides. Well, I've got a hide. She's got lovely, delicate skin. Me, I got a hide. There are a lot of people who think I should just hide permanently. But here it is. And the story is worth the telling. I tell it every year. Only this year, just given the way things have been, and gosh, it's our first wedding anniversary in the middle of a fucking plague, and we're doing with it as best we can. We are right now watching, at Tracy's recommendation, watching Bosch, and it's kind of nice because we've got, you know, six seasons to get through. It's very good. It's very good indeed. In fact, there are, I don't know if they're homages or just straight up ripoffs of a whole bunch of Raymond Chandler stuff in it. It's really, really well done. Hey, thank you very kindly to our buddy Dave for jumping in on Patreon. That's tremendous. So that takes us down to 105. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. And, you know, just so it's not like we can go out and you know, have a soiree or anything. Although Agnes, who is, she's not a teetotaler, but she's not a big party girl, looked at me earlier today and said, you know what, when this is all over and we can go out, we're going to go to the Grove and I'm going to go wild. I said, you mean you're going to drink two beers? Throw up for 3 hours and then fall asleep? She said, exactly. That is the wildness that is Agnes. But 27 years ago was a dramatically different day from today. If for no other reason than, well, again, no plague. But it had its own, it had its own challenges. It did. My mom and dad were there, and lots of friends from around the country. The day dawned as clear as a bell. Not a cloud in the sky the whole day. Unlike today, when the high got up to about 46 degrees and the sun has not been seen in at least, oh God, 2-3 days, and that only intermittently. Okay, Billable, okay. Bob, stop telling how you're the luckiest man alive. Y'all just wait for those. You're like jungle cats waiting to pounce on anything I say and tell me to stop telling you to. Right. But Billable Rick says, anyway, happy anniversary to you and your Viking war, your lovely Viking warrior Princess Bride Agnes. Have a great weekend. Thank you. We're going to try. But we always tell each other the story of how the magic all began. Or we don't tell each other. We reminisce over it on this day. What a beautiful day it was. What a beautiful bride she was. She wore a white satin dress with spaghetti straps, and it was off the shoulder, and it was just beautiful. And we got to that part of the "Do you take this man?" And we did it outside on a hilltop in West Virginia. And I had all my groomsmen around me, and she had her maids and matron of honor around her. And because of the situation in which we lived, my groomsmen and I were all packing heat. I know. And we got to the "Do you take this man" part, and all of a sudden Agnes stands stock still and says, "Wait! Stop!" At which point in time, I was like, well, I knew probably something, that there's no way she was going to marry me anyway. This is just for dramatic effect. I mean, she could have told me yesterday or something, or the day before, or just said no, but that's just how my luck runs. And then she said, "B." And Agnes is, of course, deathly allergic to bee stings. And she was so lovely and smelled so sweet and looked so beautiful. And she had a crown of corona, if you will, of flowers in her hair. And a bee that simply could not help it, could not resist the urge, had flown up her dress or gone down her dress. And that was what occasioned her yelling, "Wait, stop!" And when she did that, my groomsmen went into action. Everybody unholstered and surrounded her, and because we'd had problems with a person who was promising considerable violence. And then in the interior ring, the maids of honor, the bridesmaids and matron of honor gathered around her and formed a circle, and they did whatever was necessary. And the next thing you know, a little honeybee went and flew away. And so we got on to the business of getting married. My heart was going probably about 200 beats a minute. I was probably in the middle of a bone-crushing panic attack. And then we found out later that the entire ceremony had been viewed by the problematic person through a 4.5x14 scope on a .30-06 rifle. I guess he just couldn't decide who he wanted to take out first, and wound up not taking either of us out, and I'm glad of that. But it has been magic ever since. And to sort of invoke Forrest Gump in terms of our life together, at least we ain't led no humdrum life. And that is the absolute truth of it. So that's what we'll be reminiscing and celebrating this evening, quietly. Tomorrow, hopefully, a little less quietly. Oh, please let the sun come out. Please. It would be so very nice if that could happen. But for now, we've got radio to get into. News to cover. Oh, God, I hate to hear that. Randy in PA says, my sister-in-law says her elderly mother is in the hospital with the Rona. God, I hope everything works out okay, Randy. Thanks for being there for your sister-in-law. Lee, by the way, in New York says, stop it, Bob. Stop comparing us to jungle cats. Just had to. This seems to have become quite the little sport, quite the little game, especially since the plague has landed and we have so many limitations on our ability to entertain ourselves. I'm happy to help. I'm absolutely happy to help. Jeez. So it looks like Michael Cohen isn't going to be getting out of the stir. You know, we had the story a few weeks back that since he was a nonviolent offender, that he was going to be turned loose. No, the problematic person was not her father, Lou. The problematic person, it was an ex-husband. The ex-husband. She only has one. And we'll just leave it at that. Michael Cohen was going to get sprung, and then he started talking about how he was writing a book. Well, guess what? There's a reason for having a Bill Barr as your attorney general, a mob fixer. It turns out that Clorox Claudius got downright wrought at the idea of Michael Cohen going home to live in his Manhattan apartment and work on his book. So, guess what? He ain't getting out. They should never have announced it in the first place. But I suspect it was announced in the first place so that Nitwit Nero could hear about it and put the kibosh on it. He will spend, in fact, the full 3 years of his term in prison. And what's more, one of the cheap ambulance chasing, shit eating pettifoggers, one of the lawyers for Clorox Claudius, the chief author of All Nasty Grams, the ironically named Charles Harder, as in Charles Harder than Trump. But then again, you know, Trump's on a drug that'll keep him from probably ever having an erection for the rest of his life. And I just fucked dinner in the Eastern time zone by saying Trump and erection in the same sentence. My sincere apologies, but I'm sorry, but it's just what the news is. Yeah, the Trump Organization consigliere and dirtbag and scumbag ambulance-chasing pettifogger Charles Harder has written a nasty gram to Michael Cohen saying, on behalf of my client, I wish to inform you that you signed a non-disclosure agreement, and you are prohibited, quote, from disclosing certain information about the president, his family, and the company. Yeah. Well, Charles Harder, Trump loses court cases all the time. I'll never settle the Trump University lawsuits. I'll take it all the way to trial. They're going to wish they'd never sued me. Oh, wait, I'm settling. I lost. And so hopefully Michael Cohen will continue to work on his book and tell Charles Harder to go pound sand. Or, alternatively, go fuck himself and perhaps give himself, I don't know, sort of a loop syphilis, re-encephalate himself. Yeah. I don't know why Cohen's lawyer, Roger Adler, felt the need to announce that the Federal Bureau of Prisons had notified his client that he would be released early from prison because of the Rona. But Adler did say that out loud, and the next thing you know, even though Bill Barr, the prosecution, had told the Bureau of Prisons to expedite the release of eligible inmates to combat the outbreak in federal lockups around the country, the next thing you know, Michael Cohen ain't getting out after all. And would anybody be particularly surprised if it turned out that Bill Barr was the one who issued that directive? Because I wouldn't. Oh, but speaking of speaking of attorneys general, let's go down to Texas, where just a couple of nights ago I was discussing the fact with Lady B that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who himself is not exactly the most upstanding citizen in the world or in Texas, or even perhaps Harris County, or is that Travis County? Travis County. Yeah, where Austin is. Well, he was shaking down a Colorado county to make sure that his disease-infested multi-millionaire billionaire buddy could get in there to Colorado to his getaway cabin, right? And now, Bob, stop telling us how we should or shouldn't entertain ourselves. Yes, Bilbo Rick, you're on a roll. I don't know if it's a Kaiser roll or a hard roll or a sourdough roll, but yeah. Yeah. Ken Paxton is now threatening counties in Texas. He's issued a letter to county officials telling them, by God, not to say that mail-in balloting would be a good way to preserve democracy. Yeah, it's a hell of a note, literally. This is a repetition of a threat that he made previously. But he's kind of doubling down. The report came in from KUT Austin, and the reporter there, Matt Largey. Largey, L-A-R-G-E-Y, don't know. But thanks for the journalism. Ken Paxton sent it today to county judges and county election officials, re-ballot by mail based on disability. Due to misreporting and public confusion, the Texas Attorney General provides this guidance addressing whether a qualified voter who wishes to avoid voting in person because the voter fears contracting COVID-19 may claim a disability entitling the voter to receive a ballot by mail, regardless of whether the voter would need personal assistance to vote in person or risk injuring their health because of a sickness or physical condition. Based on the plain language of the relevant statutory text, fear of contracting COVID-19 unaccompanied by a qualifying sickness or physical condition does not constitute a disability under the Texas Election Code for purposes of receiving a ballot by mail. Now, bear in mind, if Ken Paxton was afraid of catching the Rona and requested a ballot by mail, he would automatically get one because he has a qualifying sickness, because the son of a bitch is sick from all the way from his toenails to the split ends of his thinning hair. He is a sick bastard. And he apparently despises any idea, any even vague intimation, of democracy. Accordingly, public officials shall not advise voters who lack a qualifying sickness or physical condition to vote by mail in response to COVID-19. No, y'all got to get out there, especially you goddamn Democrats and progressives and various and other sissies and panty waists and commies and pinkos. Y'all got to get out there and rub around like they done up in Wisconsin. You want to get rid of some of our sorry Republican asses? Well, you're going to have to risk your life to do it. You're not going to let Wisconsin voters be more brave than you are you, Texas? The election code establishes specific eligibility requirements to obtain a ballot by mail for early voting. While any qualified voter is eligible to early vote by personal appearance, the legislature has limited access to early voting by mail for individuals who meet specific qualifications. The section entitled Disability allows a qualified voter to vote early by mail if and the voter has a sickness or physical condition that prevents the voter from appearing at the polling place on election day without a likelihood of needing personal assistance or injuring the voter's health. Well, stupid, Ken Paxton, you goddamn dummy, you freaking moron. Catching the Rona is injurious to the voter's health. Thus, a voter has a disability under this section and therefore is eligible to receive a ballot by mail if the voter has a sickness or physical condition and the sickness or physical condition prevents the voter from appearing in person without needing personal assistance or injuring the voter's health. Only a qualifying sickness or physical condition satisfies the requirements of Section 82.002. Well, you know what? Being afraid of catching a deadly virus because you're out in public and the virus is floating around like pollen, because Texas does not take the Rona seriously and has not taken effective measures against flattening the curve. Well, you know what? That is, I think, a judge already has, that is a sufficient physical condition. Because as much as the repiglickens, as much as the maggots would like to claim so, the Rona is a physical condition. Being afraid of catching the Rona is a physical condition. And make no mistake, the Rona is not a metaphysical condition. That sorry bastard. Imagine being so disgusted by the idea of democracy that you would threaten elected officials with jail for simply trying to keep what little bit of democracy we have intact. A lawsuit reason. Damn, there was a bone in that drink of water. A lawsuit recently filed in Travis County District Court does not change or suspend these requirements. In that case, the district court ordered the Travis County clerk to accept mail ballot applications from voters who claim disability based on the COVID-19 pandemic and to tabulate mail ballots received from those voters. The Texas Attorney General immediately appealed that order. Accordingly, pursuant to Texas law, the district court's order is stayed and has no effect during the appeal. Moreover, even if the order were effective, it would not apply to any county clerk or election official outside of Travis County. My God. He knows his filthy party's days are numbered. He knows that Texas is trending from blood red into purple and will eventually be blue. And by then, our buddy John Bridivo won't be a blue dot. It'll just be blue Texas. But just take a moment to consider how deeply one must loathe the will of the people in order to threaten county officials to keep them from doing democracy. Isn't that just disgusting? Yeah, truly it is. Oh, and just because we need a giggle, Lady B sent this along, and it is, it's for what it is, it's delightful. From the man who brought you monkey jellyfish hybrids purchased in the markets of old Hong Kong, from the man who hustles paleo chocolate chicken bone beverage, you know, Alex Jones. A new level of nutty. They say that the Rona has some mental or intellectual impacts. Chris Cuomo famously talked about his hallucinations. Said he even hallucinated his dear old dead daddy Mario Cuomo. Now, Alex Jones has been hustling the Apocryph for quite some time now. And he's not about to give up. And in fact, apparently, he's decided that he has a taste for what was once upon a time referred to as long pig. He's channeling his inner Donner Party. The hockey puck might come in handy for this.
I'll admit it. I will eat my neighbors. I'm not letting my kids die. I'm just going to be honest. My superpowers, being honest, I've extrapolated this out, and I won't have to for a few years as I got food and stuff, but I'm literally looking at my neighbors now and going, I'm ready to hang them up and gut them and skin them and chop them up. You know what? I'm ready. My daughters aren't starving to death. I'll eat my neighbors. See, my superpower is being honest. I'll eat.
Wait, time out. Does he even have custody of his kids? Is he even allowed to see his children? Because wasn't there a divorce proceeding and a child custody proceeding that went a long way towards showing that that he's a few sugar crystals shy of a creme brulee? I think that was. This is not The Onion. This actually comes from Vice.com. There's not a single thing in Matthew Galt's article to suggest that he's kidding. You reckon Alex Jones's neighbors have gotten wind of this quote? He does, after all, live in Texas. Reckon maybe they might want to stand their ground, take a little proactive action now that he's threatening to kill them and hang them and gut them and eat them. Delicious with sweet taters.
Eat your ass. I will. I'm combat model. Optimus self sufficient. I will eat my neighbors. I'm not letting my kids die.
Hold on here. Did I hear what I thought I heard?
Being honest, I'll eat your ass. I will.
I'll eat your ass. I would not be shocked if the next line was, I'll toss your salad. The things you have to do to be a right-wing blowhard. Threatening cannibalism. Now, of course, that means that Tucker Carlson over on Fox and White Power Barbie, Tammy Lauren, and Frau Goebbels, Laura Ingraham, they're all going to have to one-up. Okay, Alex Jones is going to eat his neighbors. Well, I'm gonna eat my neighbors and my neighbors' neighbors. See? And now he only eats guitars. Jesus. Telling the truth is my superpower, says the guy who gave us the story of the gay frogs. Oh. I mean, we got to have some entertainment in the new frontier. Right? There really is an aspect of this that is reminiscent of a line from that George Carlin used to utter. Check his calendar. Yeah.
I will eat my neighbors. I'm not letting my kids die. I'm just going to be honest. My superpower is being honest. I've extrapolated this out, and I won't have to for a few years since I got food and stuff, but I'm literally looking at my neighbors now and going, I'm ready to hang them up and gut them.
Wait, what? He's got food and stuff. What is the and stuff? Well, sorry, Suman. Just got a note from Suman. Suman says, dinner in the mountain time zone. It's not even dinner time here, and you've successfully ruined it with the Alex Jones and his ass and stuff. Sorry, Suman. All we got in common is our misery. The least we can do is share it.
I'm going to skin them and chop them up. You know what? I'm ready. My daughters aren't starving to death. I'll eat my neighbors. See, my superpower is being honest. I'll eat your ass. I will. I'm combat model, optimum self-sufficiency, probably the leader. The point is have you thought
probably
about that
probably the
yet?
Leader.
Because I'm somebody that thought I could fix this, and I'm starting to think about having to eat my neighbors. You think I like sizing up my neighbor, how I'm going to haul him up by a chain and chop his ass up? I'll do it. My children aren't going hungry. I will eat your ass. And that's why I want the globalists to know. I will eat your ass first.
Well, I think you'd probably better go with maybe, assuming that he's still around. I'd go with Rush Limbaugh first because, you know, you're going to have all that crunchy, sizzling fat to. And you know what they say in French cooking? Fat is flavor. Alex Jones will eat your ass. Kinky. Wow. And it's only going to go downhill from there. Todd in South Carolina, Stan, says, Alex Jones, see what happens when some people lose their crank connection? Yeah, his life is a myth. See what I did there? His life is a myth. I'm kind of proud of it. Billable Rick says, Bob, how can normal people want to listen to such crazy shit as that being proffered by Alex Jones? Calling Captain Donner, there's a table for two with your neighbors on the table. Fava beans and some nice Chianti. Purse and your cheap shoes. Jude says, Agnes and the honeybee. That focused honeybee was drawn to Agnes's sweet ether of her being, manifested on the day of your entwining vows. Thank you, Jude. I tend to think so, too. Because, well, the bee didn't come after me. Then again, I didn't have a corona of flowers in my hair, either. Stop telling us what we have in common, Bob. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill in Allentown. Absolutely. As to Michael Cohen, Flavio says, you think Michael Cohen may get Epstein'd? April 19th headline in the Daily Beast, Michael Cohen is writing a secret tell-all to spill the beans on Trump. Would you be surprised if he wound up suicided and all? I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be at all. And it'll be a lot easier to accomplish if he's in jail instead of sitting in his Manhattan apartment with an ankle bracelet. On the other hand, Steve in New York says, actually, I think it was brilliant for Cohen's attorney to announce it. Now everyone and her sister will be wondering what the hell is in that book that he wants to keep Cohen from even writing it. Well, he could start out by publishing the truthful statements that he made to the grand jury that are the background to the fact that the president of the United States is to this day an unindicted conspirator on no less than 4 federal felony counts. At least 2 counts of campaign finance violations and a conspiracy to go along with each substantive count. At least 4. So, says Ron in Raleigh, Alex Jones has a taste for long pig, eh? Just like the Kusbenian foob long pig is. Delicious. With mushroom gravy. Lee in New York says, Alex Jones, if he's concerned that his children should not starve, what good is it for his children if Alex Jones eats his neighbors? Words? There are none. Oh, and also because it's Friday and we need a giggle here and there, Kayleigh Maganini, the new White House press secretary, put on her sensible black dress today and hung a little cross around her neck, and the White House Harvard trash stood to the podium and gave a briefing. It did not, as they say, go well. Among other things, she promised never to lie to the American people. And then proceeded to lie to the American people. Because that's what maggots do. It was one for the ages. Here, let's, just for the sheer hilarity of it, let's take the audio.
Coronavirus relief. The Trump administration will distribute a total of $12 billion in provider relief fund payments to 395 hospitals across the country that have been hardest hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. These hospitals have collectively cared for over 70% of the 184,000 Americans that required hospital inpatient care. $10 billion of the $12 billion will go towards hospitals treating 100 or more COVID-19 admissions. HHS is distributing an additional $2 billion to these 395 hospitals.
Bear in mind, anything that she says is untrue.
In proportion to the amount of care they provide to low-income and uninsured patients. This is consistent with our effort to ensure that Americans who need federal government assistance the most receive it. We'll be releasing a breakdown of the states receiving this funding and the counties receiving this funding, but for your awareness, New York, New Jersey, and Illinois.
Yada, 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 yada. And then we got to the punchline. Because, well, she tried to describe her approach and the approach of Nitwit Nero to facts. And so that's how we get this.
This time last week, the president was saying that he was not happy with Georgia's Governor Brian Kemp for beginning the reopening process in the way that he was at the time that he was. A week later, there have been some peaks and valleys in new cases in Georgia, but overall the trend line is down. Do you know what the president's thinking about the Georgia reopening is as of today?
Look, the president is resolute in saying that the states take the lead here. It's the lead, the decision of governors to decide what is best for their state. That being said, I talked to the experts, I talked to Dr. Birx, I talked to Dr. Fauci, and they say, rightfully so, this president has always sided on the side of data. Which is why he encourages all states to follow the data-driven guidelines to reopening. All states from Georgia on down the line should follow those guidelines, but ultimately it is the decision of the states. And one note I would make about the president, in times of national emergency, we seem to have had a trend in this country where presidents aggregate power at the federal level, but this president has devolved power. He's invested in a principle that I cherish, and I know many others do, which is federalism, and I think that was...
Yeah, okay, great. Harvard trash. The federalism. Right. Now, this is a guy who is such a piece of shit that the Republican governor of Maryland has PPEs that he had shipped in from South Korea, literally guarded by the National Guard and the Maryland State Police, to keep Pirate Donnie from sending his goons to steal them from the people of Maryland. What a horrible person. By the way, she was talking about the discussions with Dr. Fauci. There's a problem. The Congress of the United States would actually like to hear from Dr. Fauci speaking on his own and without Clorox Claudius leering over his shoulder. So the House Appropriations Committee asked for Dr. Fauci to come and talk to the committee. Well, according to the Washington Post, Evan Hollander, who is a spokesman for the House Appropriations Committee, said that the maggots in the White House denied the request for Dr. Fauci's testimony. The article states, Fauci, who is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, has been a prominent face in the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus as a lead. So he's walked a fine line delivering scientific information that at times has contradicted President Trump's idiocy. The Washington Post says statements. I'll blue pencil that and change it to idiocy. Instead, Thomas Frieden, who led, does not lead, but led the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention during the Obama administration, will testify before the House committee. And they're trying to get some other witnesses. So that'll be something to watch. Next week. Might be nice if we could hear from somebody who's actually in the thick of things. But they're afraid that some embarrassing questions might be asked, like, why won't that fucking idiot put on a mask? You know, think about it, because this is the metric. Anything that this administration does, ask yourself the question, what if Obama? And in this particular instance, what if this pandemic had struck and Obama had been in office? A, we probably wouldn't have as many people, more people dead in 6 weeks from it than we had in 15 years of Vietnam, one. But two, the reason Clorox Claudius won't show up with a mask on is because of his vanity. He's afraid he'll have spray tan lines. No kidding. He's scared to death of spray tan lines. Sort of like a reverse Homer Simpson. On the other hand, if Obama were in office, that man would probably appear on TV wearing a mask saying, "Hello, President Obama here behind this mask. I'd just like to encourage all of my fellow Americans to wear a mask to show your support and your respect for your fellow Americans. The mask may not protect you, but if we all mask up when we're in public, we can protect each other. It's the American thing to do." There'd be PSAs. I don't know if you've seen it, but it seems like it runs constantly right now over on MSNBC. There's a PSA with two young women sitting on a couch, and I think the name of the campaign is Embrace the Awkward. So the one young woman looks at the other young woman, and they're sitting about 3 feet apart on a couch, and she says, "Hey, you haven't been yourself lately. Are you okay?" And the young woman on the other side of the couch kind of goes, "Uh-uh." And then we get told about how it's okay to take the initiative, and if somebody seems like they're not doing all right, to ask them if they're all right and normalize good mental health. It's an odd ad. Not that I object to the topic. I don't. But, hey, well, it's just kind of hard to sort out. But with a plague going on and the need to reduce contact, I have no doubt whatsoever that an Obama administration would have flooded the airwaves with masking and gloving and sanitizing ads. And if Joe Biden had gone to, say, Mayo Clinic, he would not have been so insecure in his masculinity. And insecure in his sexuality that he couldn't wear a mask. Unfortunately, that is not what we have. We have a president and a vice president who are terrified that they will be perceived as anything but ultra uber masculine. This is a partial definition of toxic masculinity. God almighty. Note coming in from Brother Deacon. Asa, if and when Michael Cohen is bumped off in the Hooskow, would you, Bob Kincaid, finally admit that the United States has completed its transition into the Merck Confederation? I mean, they already bumped off Epstein in the joint for fear of yapping. I know. I don't feel confident in his well-being. Do you? Not even a little bit. Oh, and let's see. Thanks. Thanks to thanks going out this evening. To thanks to Jill. Thank you, Jill, very kindly for helping out. We're down at we're down below $100 to meet Bruce's Memorial Challenge. That's tremendous. Thank you again, Jill. Steve says, let's be honest here. If the person who had actually won the popular vote in 2016 were rightly president, we wouldn't be in this mess. No, we wouldn't. And we probably would have responded appropriately and quickly. We would have even gone so far as to send send teams of medical personnel, medical experts, to China, just as we did with the Ebola outbreak. And in the affected countries in Africa. And it might not have gotten here. Or it might, if it got here, it might have gotten here far more diminished than what it is. This is the butcher's bill we continue to pay for the existence of the Electoral College. This is the butcher's bill that we continue to pay for a profit-driven media complex that found Donald Trump to be strangely fascinating and therefore gave him billions of dollars in free publicity when he was running for president and never should have won the first primary. Thanks. Thanks oh so much. John with a note in North Dakota, where our restaurants can be up to 50% capacity starting today. Oh, lovely. John says, Alex Jones, radio grifter. And to think Mike Tyson said in a reference to Evander Holyfield, I will eat his children. I see the bar has dropped all the way to the bottom thanks to Alex Jones. Thank you, John. Yeah, what a world, what a world, what a world. And by the way, it looks like Elon Musk has slipped a gear. And maybe he was drinking. Or maybe he got hold of the brown acid. Or maybe it's just all too damn much. But he went on a Twitter frenzy this morning. And in so doing, whacked the shit out of the value of Tesla Motors. Among other things, he said that Tesla's stock price, in his opinion, was too high. Then he went on to say that he was going to sell everything he owned. I'm selling almost all physical possessions, will own no house. And there was a massive sell-off of Tesla shares. Over at the publication Electric, Fred Lambert said, I know a lot of people are calling him crazy on Twitter, and that's the easy thing to do. While I don't necessarily agree with his stance, I don't blame him for it. I've been cutting everyone some slack over their comments and stances on this crisis since it's a stressful time for everyone. Yeah, but everyone doesn't have an electric car company. Oh, and by the way, up in Far Canoodlia, they ain't got no freedom no more. Because as of today, as a result of the massacre in Nova Scotia, it's not going to be legal to own a semi-automatic assault rifle anymore. Because Canoodlia is responding to that massacre the way that Australia years back responded to the Port Arthur massacre. And so, the poor, poor citizens of Canoodlia ain't got no more freedom. And thus, as I said to Steve in New York earlier today, we in our moment of grieving for the loss of freedom in Canadlia, well, you gotta look at it like this. When poutine is outlawed, only outlaws will have poutine. So a moment of silence for freedom having died in Canada. Yep. Little school children will no longer be free to not live to see their next birthday. People living their lives will not be free to be blown away by a lawful gun owner with a weapon designed only for warfare. Look at it this way. Canada is flattening the curve of the roulette wheel of death. And when you flatten the curve on a wheel, the wheel has a hard time spinning around. Brother Deacon Asa, Todd is in complete agreement with you on your comments on Epstein and Cohen. Todd says, Asa, yes, the coup is real.
Coup. Mm-hmm.
Of course, maybe Elon Musk is melting down a little bit now. Because he was tweeting earlier about how we were making more out of the Rona than the Rona was really worth. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Because I guess 60, you know, how many thousands of deaths just aren't enough. As Steve noted, correction, Trump has killed 58,606 of our fellow countrymen and women, more than Vietnam, in just the last 31 days. I just want to make sure we give the marmalade murderer his due as the so much winningest guy he is. Yeah, you sick of all the winning yet? I've been sick of it since, January the 20th, 2017. And Brother Deacon Asa says, thank you, Brother Todd. Oh, merciful God. We are up to our eyeballs and stupid. A protester in Ohio who had gone to the state capitol to holler about how she wants some freedom and and being able to rub around on people and smolik and LARP and whatnot is it's in the Constitution. So enter WCMH TV reporter Adrienne Robbins. And she was covering the hissy fit. It's not a protest. It's a spoiled, rotten baby hissy fit. When this woman came barreling up to Adrienne Robbins and started hooting at her. Here we go.
Because you know that the company that you work for is lying to the American people. And you know that what you're doing is wrong at the end of the day. You know it. You see how nervous you are? You're shaking. You are sweating. Your glasses, you can't even see out of them. You're terrified.
Because I'm wearing my mask.
Your mask is down underneath your nose again. You are terrifying the general public. You realize that. Because you know that the company that you work for is lying.
Now, here's the thing. This vile POS violated the reporter's personal space.
That's in charge of NBC4's like social media. Is that your job? How old are you? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You don't want to answer those questions. But your ass in charge of it.
She wants her to get out of her goddamn face. And she keeps getting up in her face. And the question I have is, at what point when one of these spoiled babies, one of these disease-bearing vermin, get too close, at what point in time would it have been okay for reporter Adrienne Robbins to take her microphone and brain her with it? Adrienne Robbins tweeted, I asked this woman to respect my space after she was yelling and spitting in my face. She said I had no right to social distancing in public and continued to follow me, complaining about my mask that's meant to protect her and those around me, because she's a goddamned idiot. I had to go pick up prescriptions today, and that necessitated also, because we try to combine our trips, I had to go and get some provisions. And so I'm so there's a line to get into Wally World, because they're trying to do their best to work within reasonable guidelines. And so I'm standing there in line outside, and there's a stripe on the concrete every 6 feet. I'm standing on my stripe. And here comes a family of about five with a couple of, not one of them wearing a mask. And they get up within 2 feet of me, and I could feel them. And I turned around and I said, 6 feet, please. Because I'm fresh out of fucks on this. And the kid backed up, and I guess it was his daddy, said, you better listen to the man, boy. He'll kick your ass. And I looked at him and said, no, I'm not going to kick anybody's ass, but I'd hate for him to be within breathing distance of me. Because he's not wearing a mask, and I'm trying to protect him. Y'all not trying to protect anybody else. Maybe ask around in there, see if they got any bandanas. And the guy just kind of guffawed. Jesus, these people. The hell's... I know, rhetorical question. The hell is wrong with them? It's amazing. Steve in New York says, I'd be terrified too if some motherfucking MAGA mama did that to me. God, I really do hate these people. Ordinarily, I'd just pity them. but it's like they're, well, they are doing dangerous things, whether they think they are or not. Oh, that's very true. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, when you flatten the curve on a wheel, you get a ski. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. David in South Carolina sends me a graphic. South Carolina flattened curve. David says, hell yeah, we're stupid. Yeah, because South Carolina can reopen because they're flattening the curve. It's from the Post and Courier. Known South Carolina cases over time, updated April 30th, 2020, 4:25 p.m., from zero on March 8th to 6,000 and climbing on April 30th cases. But, yeah, South Carolina's flattening that curve. Damn. That's some world class stupid. And you remember the Genesis 2 Church of Health and Happiness or whatever the fuck its name is? The people who have been hustling Miracle Mineral Solution, who've got an injunction against them out of the federal court in Florida, but continue to hustle their poison. They're excited. A bleach enema advocate by the name of Carrie Rivera, speaking to a group in the messaging app Telegram, said, "Our time has come. With all eyes on Trump as he discusses a mystery disinfectant, I can't help but hope that we will have more heads turning our way as people begin to wonder what he might have been talking about. This is a major opportunity to begin a discussion about a timely and interesting application of chlorine dioxide." For over 10 years, Ms. Rivera has been hustling chlorine dioxide as a cure for autism. Never mind the fact that autism is probably not a disease. It's just a different brain. A different way the brain is wired. But these homicidal maniacs want to pump bleach up the little hind ends of little children and cure them of autism by getting them all dead. That'll cure your autism. Jesus. And, you know, Carrie Rivera is, of course, still free to walk the streets and at large. Oh, there's been a Kim Jong-un sighting. So we can at least rest easy on that. Or not. I'm sure that Clorox Claudius is greatly relieved. Well, here we are, about a quart of power. That's true. Lee in New York says, bleach enema advocate? Whitest asshole ever. I think that has multiple meanings, so I'll award a cowbell. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's about a quarter past the hour, and it's time it's time for me to wander down the garden path and over to the old holler tree wherein we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Is it another one of those beautiful days in Northern California? Let's just go ahead and get this over.
Oh, it's just absolutely gorgeous. Although there's a breeze coming through the north door. And it is wafting in the scent of my neighbor's barbecue a while ago. I don't know what they were cooking, but it sure smelled good.
You need to be better friends with your neighbor so you can find out what they're cooking.
Oh, well, they got a big tribe over there. I'm not going to get over there near those. Anybody.
Well, that's true. That's entirely true. I have something kind of cool to announce. My little county finally has a food truck. And it's downright exciting.
What kind of food, Bob?
They're just down the road from me, and they got a little farm, and they buy local meat and everything, locally raised meat. And so yesterday they were selling homemade lamb stuffed grape leaves and ground lamb in a crepe, and they made the beautiful smoked trout dip that was seasoned with ramps and garnished with redbud blossoms. It was all delicious, but the thing that they do best, and I'm proud of myself, they make vegan ice cream. It's basically coconut milk ice cream. There's no real dairy in it. And I tasted their chocolate. It is quite possibly the best chocolate ice cream I've ever eaten in my life because it's got this lovely little hint of coconut flavor. And it's like eating an ice cream Mounds bar. And oh my goodness gracious, is it good. I ate something vegan. The vegan and vegetarian component of the Horn Family Community Congregation will now be going, come on, Bob, you can do it. But it was absolutely delicious.
We had a newspaper article about a food truck. Our local casino, Rolling Hills Casino, which is down in Corning, which is 18 miles south of us, they have two of their own health clinics, and then there's Red Bluff. There's other medical offices and stuff around them, and the hospital and stuff in Red Bluff. So their food truck is feeding lunches to hospital workers and clinic workers, and for free.
Nice.
That was a good. And we got another clinic, another COVID testing site opened up, but there's conditions. Lunches to hospital workers and clinics. Somebody's got their radio going.
Okay, they muted. That's a good thing.
But it's in our local community center. Instead of the hospital being the only one that had the COVID test, they got opened up. They call them pop-ups or whatever, but your statement had mandated it or gave them the funds. It's all free testing, but it's only for critical workers, you know, like grocery store workers and folks
profoundly at risk.
Yeah. Or people that work in McDonald's for the drive-up window or things like that, you know, the takeout people and the hospital workers too can go in there too. But otherwise you have to be showing symptoms.
It's probably not as much of an issue in California because y'all try to be kind of civilized about all this. But in states with massive uninsured population, how are you going to convince people who have no coverage to go and get a test when it may result in them being hospitalized?
Yeah, this is true.
Oh, and by the way, just thank your lucky stars, everybody, that you're not getting text messages from Arnold in PA. God almighty. Arnold said earlier, Obama should do a live Twitter in a tan suit with a mask on. That's a beautiful idea. And he said...
I thought of that, too, when you were talking about Obama putting a mask on.
Yeah, with the tan suit, right?
Yeah, with the tan suit.
Just so we can have some... Just to stoke the... outrage
of the COVIDians.
Yeah, of the branch COVIDians.
COVIDians.
Yeah, I know, but I also like branch COVIDians. You know, David Koresh, the branch Davidians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on Netflix, by the way.
Like Howard Stern said, let's just fill up a stadium with them and let them go ahead and drink the bleach and get it over with. By the way, I got Jeremy awarded me a cowbell. You just earned a cowbell, Jeremy says, for that. Is it just a beautiful day there? Let's just get this out of the way now. He said, delivered in a beautifully sarcastic way. I wasn't trying to be sarcastic. I know it's beautiful there. It's just, it just seems so weird to me all day long to watch. It's so cold, so wet, so miserable. And yet 27 years ago was perfect. We could not have had a better day.
Damn. We had our first over 90 degree day the other day. It was 93. I had the fan running in here, so I was able to take it out here in this metal shop.
Yeah,
it gets over about 95. I can't take the man cave anymore.
Yeah, that's when you unfold the space back into the house.
Well, I got one wall that gets direct sunlight. If you walk over to the wall, you can just feel the heat coming off of it.
That's an infrared cooking source. Maybe you need to set up a little electric rotisserie there with a chicken on it.
Well, it would really slow cook. I could put it right near the electrical panel.
Or maybe you could use water and it's practically sous vide. No, you do not want Jesus, Arnold.
I can fry eggs on the sidewalk here in the summertime.
Arnold just sent me a picture involving a jug of bleach that, well, I'll have to shower with brain bleach to get it out of my head. Damn it, Arnold, you're a bad, bad man.
Is that the one that says Dr. Trump? Am I doing this right?
No, this is an
action. Upside down?
No, well, kind of, yeah.
Bare assed?
Yep.
That one, okay. There you go. I've seen that one. that's a good one.
Mm. Then when you were
that's the one I sent you, Rick.
That's right, Joe. That's right. Cowbell for Joe.
When you were talking about that chlorine stuff.
Yeah, chlorine dioxide, MMS.
My brain flashed at the time we were doing this water treatment plant expansion. They use chlorine at the water treatment plant.
Of course, yeah.
But everybody that goes to work at the plant has to be briefed and has to be made conscious of the wind sock, which way it's turning. If the alarm goes off and they haven't told you it's a test, because they test it once a month and they go around and they tell you everybody they're going to test the chlorine alarm. But if the alarm goes off, run to look at that wind sock and run the opposite direction.
Go the other way, yeah. Stephen, New York has improved on the idea of Trump or of Obama with the tan suit and the mask. No. Stephen, New York says it's Obama with a mask wearing a dashiki and holding his birth certificate.
Oh, my God. Of course.
Right. No, basketball court. Basketball court. God, America. Flavio finally got a mask. Yay, Flavio. Flavio says, I went to get my prescription last Tuesday at Wally World, and I asked the pharmacist if they had masks for sale, and he said no, but that one of the young lady pharmacists working there's mother had made homemade masks, and she was giving them out. I got one, and I wore it for the duration of my visit. I finally got a mask instead of a scarf. Glory hallelujah. I'm glad you did, Flavio. I've been wearing my Tom and Sunny San Rafael mask everywhere I go. So let's see. That was you I heard a minute ago, wasn't it, Billable?
Yes, I had to unmute there. Yes, it was, absolutely.
How's your world?
Oh, I'm doing okay. We got adopted this wonderful German Shepherd puppy.
I saw.
Yeah, what's he chewing up?
She's trying to chew up my hand for one thing. I got like marks all over my, you know, my wrists and my arms and stuff. we're trying to break her of that habit, but, I'm trying to get her to fetch balls. I think she's going to be a fetcher with, you know, these squeaky tennis balls and all. And,
How old is it?
Oh, she's like 9 weeks now. We've had her, I guess we've only had her for a week.
It'll take a while. It'll take a little ways before she starts really being able to train.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's only had her first set of shots. She's got another, she'll have her debutante party or whatever in about 8 weeks or 7 weeks once she's had all her shots. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she has to have her 12-week shots and then her 16-week shots. But, the most interesting thing to watch is how she plays Father the Leader with her, we'll call her brother, more like granddad, a 12-year-old German Shepherd, William.
Oh, you got made then.
Yeah,
that old dog will teach that pup more than you can.
I think so. But right now at the moment, I mean, she plays like Follow the Leader. William just wants to be left alone. So he'll like run around, to try to avoid her. He'll go from the backyard to the garage to try to go in the house. And, the little dog will follow him, wherever he goes. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I had a German Shepherd after I got out of the Air Force. A couple of years after I got out of the Air Force, I raised a female. Right. And I bred her and everything. And then I ended up with one of the pups.
Mm-hmm.
A male pup that, I mean, the two of them I just couldn't take. So I had to get...
And by the way, I was going to let y'all know that beginning Monday... Ferg will begin the process of becoming a Californian.
Oh, wonderful. Again.
Well, I mean, he didn't jump through the flaming barbed wire.
He was just temporary then.
He was temping, but he aims to stay this time.
Did he pass the citizenship test to become a California resident, Bob?
He's working now. He's working on it now. He's working on his test, and he's learning to ride. And he's working on his goat riding skills, and all the various hazing that goes with it. And he's learning to refer to highways by as nothing but numbers. I think he's okay. Well on his way.
And before you know, he'll be surfing.
I don't know.
Not up there.
Do they surf up there? I don't think they surf up there.
Where is he going to?
Almost Oregon.
Oh. Well, there's some areas you just have to wear a wetsuit. That's all.
I think the closest community of any size, Sparky, tell me if I'm wrong, is like Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Correct.
He's going to be a cowboy.
Well, come back the other way, and go to Weed, California.
He's going to be a ranch hand.
Oh, good. Good. He did some of that before, didn't he, Bob?
Yeah, and he's going back to work for the same folks.
Excellent. Excellent.
Going to be on the north side of the mountain.
And he's all excited about it, and I'm rooting for him. I hope it works out. I desperately want him to be happy.
Of course.
He just has to get his cowboy hat out and dust it off.
I think he's going to buy a new one once he gets out there and gets a payday.
Oh, what happened to the old one?
It's somewhere around here, but his head's gotten bigger. He's still a growing boy. And his hat fits him.
You know what?
His hat fits him differently depending on how much hair is on his head.
You know the first words I said to him?
What's that?
Nice hat. He got out of the car.
Well, he's eager to see you, and he hopes he gets a chance. We were talking about that the other day.
Well, hey, Bob, tell him to save up like a whole bunch of horse shit because I got a picture of a sculpture of COVID Caligula.
I saw that.
Made out of 100 pounds of horse shit.
It was a portrait bust of Clorox Claudius that made out of 100 pounds of horse shit. The perfect medium.
That's been all over Facebook.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely.
They're going to have to build a barn on the Smithsonian to hold that, I guess.
Oh, geez. That's great.
Did you guys see that Omen video that I posted on the Horn Facebook page?
I didn't see it, no.
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 Oh, it's got that. That little it's really good. I'll post it and send it to you in an email, Bob.
Oh, cool. I got a question coming from Eileen in New York City. My question is, if you can only secure a COVID test when you're showing symptoms, why are they encouraging people to group with others at that point? Duh, makes me want to avoid testing sites, vector site. And yeah, I get that. I mean, aren't these, I think the one, there's one over at the nearest little decent hospital in Somersville, and I think it's a drive-up. So you're not actually gathering with people. It might be different in other parts of the country. But yeah, I don't want to go hang out with people who are showing symptoms. Uh-uh.
And some of those tests, it's almost somewhat of a racket, I think. Because the tests are they're not uniform. You know, it's unclear whether they're, you know, even accurate. And then you may not get the test for 10 days after, until 10 days after. You know, so like what use does that what information does that give you, you know? I was thinking of getting an antibody test a while back because I had a weird illness in January, but decided, I called up a company and they, they were all out of the one that you prick your finger and they can tell you within like 15 minutes whether you've had COVID in the past, you know, whether you have the antibodies. And all they had was the one where they draw the blood. And that's the one I hear you have to like send away to a lab and the results are like delayed. So, I mean, what good does that do you if you can't get, fairly quick results?
So, Rick, is that the one all the Angelinos are eligible to take? That's the test you're talking about?
I'm not 100% sure. I've been in Orange County in here for the last 5 weeks or so. Because
you'd have to go back up home. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone up to the house a couple of times just to get the mail and, you know, kind of wave to the cats and wave to the dog and talk to my son through the screen.
Your son won't allow you in the house, right?
No, he won't let me. He will not allow me in the house. No, he's afraid I've been exposed to too many people because there's a couple boarders in my girlfriend's house and she's got a son. But you know, people don't really LARP and smalllock that much at our house, you know. Well, you know, whereas next door neighbors have a party night.
It don't take much LARPing and smalllocking at all.
No.
And if you keep exposing yourself like that, Rick, you could end up in jail. You don't want that to happen.
Yeah, indecent exposure, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I don't want that. No, don't need that. Don't need that. So, yeah, I don't know so much about what's going on in L.A. County. I know that, rates are going up somewhat, although, I think L.A.'s done a pretty good job. Orange County, they're in, like, rebellion now. Governor, some of the beach communities, like Huntington Beach, Newport Beach, there are a lot of people that were LARPing and smalking at the beach and, you know, not respecting social distancing. So Governor Newsom basically ordered that the beaches be shut down. And now I guess the city of Huntington Beach is going to be suing the state of California over that executive order.
They'll lose, won't they?
They will. This is a political stunt. Yeah, this is a political stunt. If you might recall, one of the, liberate movements or liberate marches originated out of, or the reopen the government, reopen the economy thing, marches originated in Huntington Beach. So there's a lot of, right-wing asshats in Huntington Beach, Newport Beach, you know, that area. You know, there's still enclaves of Republicanism in Orange County, of course, you know. That lawsuit will go nowhere, given the times and the hazards and so forth. But my Yeah, my girlfriend's son surfs a lot, and he's gone to Newport Beach a number of times in the past week or so, and he thinks that they should probably close off the beach just for swimmers only, because they can't, you know, they can't do social distancing, whereas surfers, you know, you have to kind of be at least 6 feet apart, because otherwise you're, you know, bogarting people's waves and so forth, you know?
Don't bogart my wave, dude.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, what, Sparky?
I sent you that video.
Hey, did you guys see this?
It's a takeoff on Poltergeist. It's called Trumper Guys.
Oh, yeah, I see it there.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, Sparky. Yeah, you messaged that to me, I think.
Yeah, I forgot who I sent it to.
Did you guys just see this that they just came across? It said White House will block Fauci from testifying.
Yeah,
in Congress.
I mentioned that at the top of the program.
Jesus
wow.
Christ.
No, I didn't see that.
These fucking people are evil, man.
Hey, let's try this Trumper Geist. I want to see it. Stand by. Trumper Geist.
Yo, come on in. Gather around. There is no government. There is only a greed and hate-driven consciousness. Trump is just like those he is with. They are a criminal presence there in the halls of government. They are attracted to the one thing about him that is the same as themselves. Our own force is very strong. It has its own illumination. It is a light that implies life and memory of love and home and employment.
And employment.
Something they desperately desire, but can't have anymore. They support Trump. He is an image of themselves. And he is a terrible distraction for the real truth that has finally come for them. Do you understand me? These people who, for whatever reason, aren't educated and aren't aware at all that they're being fucked over. They're not part of society as we know it. They linger in a perpetual dream state, a nightmare from which they cannot awake. But on election night is salvation. A window to the next era. We must fight voter suppression. Get friends going to voter registration. Now, hold on to yourselves. There's one more thing. Mitch McConnell is with him. So much hate, so much betrayal, and I've never seen so much lying. I don't know what hangs over the White House, but it was strong enough to punch a hole into our democracy and steal our election. He keeps his followers very close to him and away from common sense. He lies to them. Trump says things that only the very stupid can understand. He has been using threats to restrain the Senate. To his followers, he simply is their true Messiah. To us, he is the beast.
That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
So the video of that, it's an older woman speaking. It looks like it's from a 1950s B movie or something.
No, it's from Poltergeist.
It's
from Poltergeist.
Oh, it's Poltergeist? God, that looks old. I guess that was the 70s, right?
Short 80s. Woman with a helium voice, yeah.
Yeah.
Early 80s, I think.
Early 80s, geez.
Hi, tough. Carol Ann!
I have a question to ask everybody. Oh, I'm sorry I interrupted. I apologize.
You didn't interrupt. Go ahead.
Has anyone watched The Man in the High Castle?
No, it's on my list, Steve.
I did. You like it, Steve?
I got the first couple of seasons and then just sort of.
Here's my question. I like it. One of the things I really like about it, I find it very suspenseful. One of the things I like the most about it is you never quite know whose side each character's on, or the little machinations, particularly Smith.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
that sounds fun.
But after every episode, I consistently ask myself, "What is this about?" I have no idea.
Well, it's a historical counterfactual drama, I suppose.
I don't think so.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know, but you you get people who it starts getting in these alternate timelines and people going in and and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but the trade minister, he goes into the alternative thing, universe.
It's a meditation on alternate realities and alternate universes. Because remember, Philip K. Dick was a science fiction author. This is essentially a science.
I don't know anything about the guy.
This is a science fiction story. This is the guy who gave us. Do robots dream of electric sheep, which gets turned into Blade Runner?
Now, Bob, that doesn't tell me what it's about, but what it does tell me is, it's like for me, it's like The Big Lebowski. I've never quite been sure what that's actually about, but when you kind of learn more about it, you go, at least I kind of know where it's coming from. But I really like it.
Like I said, it's a meditation on the fluidity of reality. So the films that they're watching that show, I mean, everybody knows by now, the story itself takes place in a world where Germany and Japan win the Second World War and carve up the United States between them. Mm-hmm. And Germany gets east of the Mississippi, and Japan gets west of the Rockies, and there's a sort of neutral no man's land in the middle of it. And
it's called the neutral zone, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And Smith is who Smith is. He's not pretending to be anything. The only good guys. Are the woman and the man who become part of the resistance.
When it was Juliana and
Frank?
Yeah.
Fred?
Yeah.
Fred Frank?
Yeah.
You know, the one that intrigues me the most is the trade minister.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the guy who works for him. I don't know if you remember the scene when, the trade minister goes into the alternate reality where his son marries Juliana and they have a kid. And then he comes back. Oh, no, he sees if you remember, Juliana and his son were anti-nuke activists. And he sees the film of the testing of the H-bomb in the Bikini Atoll. And he comes back and he sees what and then he also sees what happens in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and he notices his assistants around it near his wrists and his arms that are all burnt. And realizes that, and I didn't quite get this, I'm not quite sure about this, that that guy, I think, was actually from that reality and was burned in one of those bombings.
I would suggest you not try to you stop trying to read into it more than it's there. If you, I mean, if you want to look for some nuance, well, part of the nuance lies in the realization on both coasts of how easily Americans settled into fascism.
Mm-hmm. And embraced it, not just like Smith embraced it.
Oh yeah.
Because he was, you know, he was an American serviceman. I think they said he was a signalman.
Well, we're seeing that play out now, aren't
we? Yeah, sound familiar?
Yeah. But I to me, the more interesting part is, I mean, I've been a bit of a devotee of Einstein and reading about general and special relativity and getting into string theory and the multiverses, or the various multiverses, and the notion that the general relativity notion that there's no such thing as time, or time, space, and speed. Well, time and they're all related, and there is no such thing as absolute time. Everything is in relation to something else.
It's relative, yes.
Yeah, other than the speed of light. So, you know.
Yeah, echoing.
Did you ever?
Echoing something that I said a minute ago, Ron and Raleigh just said, the story is about the multiverse and how every action takes off into its own reality. Remember, if you're alive in one universe, you can't exist in the other.
So, hey, Steve, did you ever see the show Fringe?
No.
Oh, okay. I think you might like that, too. Did anyone watch that, Fringe?
Yeah, that's an interesting show. I watched it with my son.
Yeah, same kind of concept.
Got a recommendation.
Yeah, go ahead, Sparky.
Ozark.
Oh, yes. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wasn't the ending mind blowing?
Yes.
That was totally crazy.
Yes. Yes.
What's it on?
Literally mind blowing. That.
That's season three. Are they going to have a season four? Or is that show been canceled?
They have to. It would be like against the law for them not to have a fourth season after that.
Well, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. Part of the problem is Laura Linney is facing federal charges for that cheating scandal, getting her kid into USC on false pretenses.
Fuck. Oh.
Paying a bribe. Remember that?
Some things are just hard to put a button on. Look how they ended this Sopranos.
Yeah.
That pissed a lot of people off, you know.
Yeah, and House of Cards was disappointing, I thought, too. I just finished up the last season.
Oh, they got to have another season of Ozark. We got to have another season.
What? Oh, I know.
I hope so.
They whacked the Sopranos?
Yeah, that series is over, Joe. Did you get the news? Yeah.
Did you get the memo, huh? It faded to black. Spoiler alert.
Season 15 or something, yeah.
Hey, what is you said Ozark? What is it on?
Netflix. It's on Netflix. It's an original Netflix production.
Yeah, I got rid of Netflix.
You did?
I have something called Crave TV in Canada that basically has all of it on there, and I don't pay for it. So, Hulu and Netflix, and it has its own stuff. But you can't get it, Steve.
Hey y'all, let me jump in real quick. Lady B needs to. Lady B just called in, and she's got to bounce in and bounce back out. Hey, Lady B.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you the crazy story. Me and my friend were coming back from Costco, and we decided to make the scenic trip downtown because we live on the south side of town. Costco's on the north side of town. So anyway, I'm coming over these railroad tracks onto this road that's called Las Vegas. And Las Vegas actually runs along where the sewer treatment plant is and all that stuff. It's an industrial area. You know, a lot of working guys around there. Long story short, we're driving. We hear this crack. It was like, the only way I can describe it is like a whip crack. And that's not because I've ever been beaten by a whip. It's just that's, you know, what it sounds like. So anyway, a piece of metal had crashed, smashed my hood. I mean, my roof of my car. It just totally.
No shit.
Like, slapped it. That's literally, it just slapped it.
Just out of nowhere.
yeah, out of nowhere, dude. We hadn't even taken edibles yet. We're sitting in the car like, and I start driving, right? I'm driving. I see it hit the ground, and I'm trying to skirt it because I don't know if that thing is live or not. We're sitting there, and we're thinking. You know, we get to the stoplight, and we're like, and I said, you know what? If I trip on this, I mean, this is like some Final Destination shit.
That's bizarre. I mean,
yeah,
very strange. Did you sort it? I mean, were you able to sort any of it out? Or, I mean.
Okay, there I am. Wow. It keeps flipping back to Bluetooth, and I'm talking directly to the phone. Anyway, long story short, honey. I get home, and I look at the lid of my car, the roof of my car. There's like this silvery white line across the roof. I mean, it just kind of scraped the paint off where it hit. And, you know, my car is 12 years old. I'm not tripping about getting another one. I'm fine. But I did have to report it. So I just wanted to tell you guys, it was like, I thought I was at a Final Destination.
So where do you think that the big metal piece came from?
Well, you know what I'm thinking? That because it wasn't a heavy black cable and it wasn't really sparking, it may have been, I guess, what they call a tension line. You know?
Or okay. a guy wire?
Ow.
Could be a comp plate.
I'm so sorry. But anyway, it could be
a comp claim. Comp claim. Look into that.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a comp claim to me.
Steve would know.
You know what? But here was the thing. I never knew what they were talking about when they say the injury. Like if you have an injury, but it's also suing for emotional. And I'm not emotional, but like I said, it could have gone. That could have gone sideways.
Easy.
Like, really quick. So
could have come through your windshield very easily, maybe.
It could have been horrible.
It could have gone through your windshield.
Yeah.
But the good thing about it,
I really don't.
A comp claim won't affect your driving record or any of that.
And by comp, he means comprehensive. The comprehensive portion of your coverage.
Okay. I mean, and really all they would do is maybe buff it a little. You know, I don't know, but that's not the point. I get it. It shouldn't have happened. Things like that should not happen. But I called the dispatch people, and he didn't know me because I worked night. He's not part of the night crew. But I told them, and they took down everything, and they're going to send out a crew. And, you know, so if anything, I was more concerned about somebody losing power than, you know, about my car being damaged. But you know what? I guess I'll look into it. I took pictures. But anyway, you guys, I am really going to let you go. I just had to tell you my Final Destination moment there. You know, talk amongst yourselves and have a good day, okay?
All right, Lady B, you take care of yourself.
Enjoy your edibles.
All right, bye, y'all.
Watch out for any rogue cabling, okay?
You know, dude, I know I'm hot. I know I'm electric. I, you know, I make men's hair stand on end, but not like that.
Right. Hey, Lady B, since you're electric, go ahead and check out Electric Lady by Janelle Monae. That's our song, girl. That is our song.
Oh, okay. I will have to do that. And,
you must.
Hey, Lady B.
That song is the best song ever.
That song was tight, though. That was like the 80s right there. I really got to go, guys. I will listen to you.
All right. Okay, see you, Lady B.
Bye.
I hate bizarre little things. I mean, you know, generally, it's not cabling flying around here. But those moments just scare the shit out of you.
No, it's couches and roadways, Bob.
Right. I get couches, baby bears, bear cubs,
birds.
And birds, redheaded woodpeckers, pileated woodpeckers.
Yeah. Baby bear.
Oh yeah, I had to jump
like
on the
boo boo.
It was a juvenile. It was a cub. And I had to jump on the brakes to keep from having a moment with a bear earlier this year, or actually it was last year. Just came bounding out onto the highway. I'm cruising along 70 miles an hour, and I see it, and just the bear and I saw each other at the same time, and the bear had the same look on his face as I had on mine. Fuck. And I jumped, I at the same time that I jumped on the brakes, the bear turned around and went back down over the hill. I mean, you could see him in the process of stopping. I don't know, maybe he heard his mother back down over the hill going, "Where are you? You get back here right this minute." Oh, shit.
You looked both ways, did you?
I had a coyote flash in front of me a couple of years ago. Just a half mile, not even a half mile from home here. I was almost getting ready to make the turn. This coyote come flying across the road going into the walnut orchard across the highway. And I went, jumped real quick. I didn't even hit the brakes. It happened so quick. He's passed me. I went, son of a bitch, that was a coyote. It was the middle of the day.
That's weird. Well, you also get...
car key, right?
Huh?
Was he on rocket skates?
Lightning. It could have been.
Oh, that's so fucking fast.
I mean, he was motating, I'll tell you that much.
Well, hey, we are up at the end of the second hour of the program. And I just wanted to make mention that we got $100 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. And, well, I hope we can make that happen. So I'm just putting that out there for anyone and everyone. By the way, Ron and Raleigh says, I hate to disappoint, but Ozark has been canceled.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I was afraid of.
Oh, well.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to say, I'm sorry to interrupt real quick. I got to step off here. I got to make a phone call. I just got somebody call me. Just want to say, everybody, keep safe. Stay safe. Keep going, Tracy.
yeah.
Keep running. Keep trucking. And everyone else. Yeah, everyone be safe. Do what you need to do. And we will see each other on Monday.
Yes.
All right. Stay away from the Joker out there in Gotham, Steve.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do. Right. Take care, everyone.
Right. Bye, Steve.
See you, Steve.
Bye now.
Stay safe.
See you.
Okay.
You too. Rick.
Bateman's money must have dried up.
Yes, Tracy. Hi.
He was the director of that whole series.
Okay, I'm going to say it one more time.
Yo, Tracy.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Tracy. What's going on?
When you get a chance, have Zach check his account. For okay. unemployment, because okay. Some people are people that that filed yesterday are apparently are already getting their approvals in their account.
Oh, tremendous!
So okay. he needs to if he doesn't remember how to get into what he needs to do, just have him text me.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, I got an email from one of the people that I'm working with, And it's weird because she called, she texted an email that said that the people, some of the people that she approved, that she worked on today have already been approved.
Wow.
But I've done people today and they haven't been approved.
I thought you were waiting, Tracy, for approval yourself. Huh? I thought you were waiting for approval yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I approved yesterday. It's funny because I've helped all these people and then I'm like, shit, I haven't filed yet.
Oh my God.
Okay. So, I finally filed yesterday, but apparently some people that filed yesterday are already the money's already in their account, at least for the it looks like they're the weekly benefit for just the state part. It doesn't show yet for the federal part yet. So but in any event, just have them keep an eye out on his account. And I forgot also that I don't know if I remember to mention about this. It's just so, I think I talked about this the other day. It's so stupid. You got, you know, yes, you get the money in your account, but you got to wait for a damn debit card before you can access the money. It's not like, you know, even stupider. So you wait for the debit card, you get the debit card, and then once you get the debit card, then you can set up direct deposit. Then you could take the money from your debit card and directly deposit it into your checking account. So again, why in the flying fuck do they not just let you put in your check, your banking information, so you could just, as soon as the money's available, it just goes right into your account. It's not like people have been waiting that long, really, you know?
So somebody's got to make a fee on the debit card.
It's Bank of America. Yeah, so Bank of America is getting it. This is stupid.
Banking over America. And for the benefit of what Tracy and I were just saying, she's been helping a lot of people who were self-employed and applying for unemployment. And my girlfriend's son, Zach, is in that situation. So Tracy was kind enough yesterday to put on a webinar for, I think, a number of people at 2 p.m. Pacific time yesterday. And Zach profusely thanks you for all you did in terms of helping him out with that. So I'll let him know that he should check his account and see if the money is in there. But he'll have to wait for the debit card to get mailed to him.
Right. So, it's all happy and giggly and shit. Oh, yeah, I got my money, but motherfucker, I can't get my shit because...
because of capitalism, Tracy.
Because of capitalism. That's why we can't have nice things.
Well, right. Speaking of capitalism, there was kind of a big deal today in Washington. House Democrats introduced the Medicare Crisis Program Act. Joe Kennedy of Massachusetts and Pramila Jayapal of Washington were the lead sponsors. And Pramila Jayapal pulled no punches. She said, "Our nation's for-profit employment-based healthcare system did not make sense before COVID-19 struck, and it is proving dangerous and deadly during the crisis." So she went on to say, "Millions of Americans are losing their job and their health insurance at precisely the moment when we need everyone to be able to access care and treatment for illness. The Medicare Crisis Program Act would guarantee health care for millions of people struggling with the health and economic realities of the COVID-19 pandemic and protect Americans from outrageous out-of-pocket costs." This is kind of a big deal. Because and you know, this is also Goddess of Irony stuff too. You know, back before the plague landed, you had these millionaires on TV saying ugly, hateful shit like, "Yeah, but you know, people love their employment-based health care. We can't afford Medicare for All. Medicare for All is going to throw millions of people off of their health care, and they won't have no health care at all, especially not that health care that they've got through their employment that they love so much." Well, ain't got it no more. And so so Kennedy and Jayapal are stepping into the breach and pointing it out. And Chinless Mitch will never let it happen. But by God, if ever there was a piece of legislation that showed the absolute and utter necessity to cleanse the Senate of the United States of goddamn right-wing maggot Republicans, this bill is that. because it goes to the heart of what I was saying with Sparky a few minutes ago. Why are you going to go get tested if you don't have coverage? Even if the test is free, if you don't have coverage and you come back positive, what are you going to do, go home and die?
It might actually cause you to lose your job too, Bob, if you test positive, if you do have a job still, right?
If you're a meat packer, that's for certain.
Oh, my God. You know, does Trump have, I don't see that Trump has authority to order the meat plants to reopen.
Sure he does.
I mean, that was decided under Youngstown Steel. Truman tried to get the steel mills to do what he wanted to do to arm America.
And the Supreme Court told him to pound sand.
Yeah, go F yourself. Yeah. So I don't see how Trump has the authority to do that.
Yeah, but wait a second, Rick. I do think Smithfield, who's going to counter sue? Smithfield or the union? The Meatpackers Union?
The union. Sure, the union has to, yeah.
They've got standing.
The union's got the balls.
What union?
Huh?
What union?
Meatpackers Union.
Give me a break. A lot of those plants aren't unionized.
Some are.
Some are UFCW.
Yeah.
God forbid Orange can't get his fucking cheeseburger or his Kentucky Fried Chicken. So,
what will he eat then? Will he eat his neighbors?
By the way, you were talking about Orange County there earlier and the idiots of Orange County and Huntington Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Some wag declared, Huntington Beach has become the Florida of California.
Oh, yeah.
But yes. with all of these hooting and hollering maggots wandering around, no social distancing, no masks, give it about 14 days and look for a huge spike in Orange County.
Yeah. I mean, up till now, Orange County has had very low numbers, at least known numbers, both of deaths and COVID infections. But yeah, you know, I would expect it to jump dramatically in a few weeks' time. Same thing will happen in Georgia, you know, when it reopened all its businesses.
Oh, and South Carolina.
Also all these other maggot states.
It's already happening in Hall County. That's where all the chicken processing plants are. Yeah. Chicken capital of the world. Yeah, man. It's getting really hot.
Man.
Jan just better watch his ass in Texas, too.
Jan just ordered a bunch of stuff. We just ordered a bunch of stuff from Omaha Steaks. We got, I'm excited. We got it yesterday, but we ordered some more. So I'm looking forward to trying these. Ready? Filet mignon spring rolls.
Nice.
Whoa.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Tracy, I want to know, did they throw in a free order of some COVID burgers as well?
Actually, they're sold out of their burgers.
With some mayonnaise
right now.
Yeah,
is that like COVID?
I was at the grocery store yesterday, and the meat cases were full. But then when I was coming home, I drove past the little butcher shop I go to some down the road. And there were so many cars there. I thought, I ain't going in that little place. There's too many people in one confined space.
Yeah. It's to the point where I just, you know, I'm tired of the hoarding and people losing their fucking minds. But the package that we were trying to get, now listen to what was going to come in this. It's called the Butcher's Backyard Bundle. You get 4 butcher cut filet mignon, 4 5-ounce top sirloins, 4 boneless pork chops, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 4 kielbasa sausages, a 12-ounce package of all beef meatballs, 4 packages of scalloped potatoes, and 4 individual New York cheesesteaks, and then their signature seasoning packet. Guess how much it was going to be only $159.
Oh, well, that's crazy. That's so
pretty
nice.
Good.
Do you have a chest freezer, Tracy?
We have a freezer in the garage. So we have
Stephanie Miller's been hawking that package on her show.
No wonder it's sold out.
Did you listen to Frangela today?
No, I always forget. You know, because like you said, I hadn't listened to Stephanie Miller in forever, and then that incident when she was acting like, you know, the silly white woman she is, and I was just kind of like, I'm done. I have a finite amount of energy for white
backup or whatever it was.
Yeah, something like that. I have a finite amount of energy for stupid white people at times, and so, you know, I typically I love Stephanie Miller, but just like I said, so Frangela's on. I got to remind myself they're on Fridays. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
8:00 second our time, or Tracy. Third hour.
Yes.
Hey, Tracy. Speaking of stupid white people, Devin Nunes. Now listen to this. Now you'll get this.
Oh no! Come on, what?
Yeah. He said,
please no. California's freaking out. We don't want to hear about Devin Nunes.
The children, the school closing is close to kill. And here's his exact language. Children could have went back to school two to four weeks ago.
Could have went.
Could have went?
Sounds like he needs to go back to school.
He needs to go back to school to get that refresh on grammar.
Jeez.
Could have went? What?
I guess he must have attended the George W. Bush School of English Grammar or something like that, you know.
I think he's a secret hillbilly.
Well, there you go.
By the way, I checked
Trump University grad.
I checked on Orange County on the Johns Hopkins map. They have 2,537 confirmed cases and 50 dead, and it's gonna go up like a rocket. Within 2 weeks.
Oh God, yeah, with those fucking idiots. It's just, I mean, I like I said, the only time I'm ever in Orange County seriously is to go to Disneyland and Osbury Farm. That's it. I mean, I wind up driving there because I'm dropping somebody off. But typically, no. It's just no. I can't deal with those. I just and now that they're going around lying on the beach like it's, you know, no big deal, and no masks and no social distancing, that just affirms the reason why to stay the fuck out of Orange County. Oh, speaking of Orange County, it, on the other part of the country, in Florida, these motherfuckers are actually seriously trying to talk about reopening Disney World.
Yes,
really. Yeah.
Orlando, yeah.
What a good idea. Jeez, you know?
it's like, and they have it in phases, y'all. They have, like, one phase is 50% capacity. Then the next phase is 75% capacity. And then if anybody has been ever been at Disneyland or Disney World, what is their definition of 100% capacity is more motherfuckers that need to be in a place in the first place.
Yeah,
100% shoulder to shoulder.
What, because now my question is, what is the definition of 100% capacity? How many motherfuckers are you going to cram into, you know, because there has only been one time in my entire life that Disneyland closed because there was too many people. It was years ago when they were, it was the last day of the Main Street Electrical Parade, right?
Oh,
so yeah. Alex was probably maybe 10 years old and one of a good friend of mine. So we decided we're going to go to Disneyland. Dude, it fucking took us over a half an hour or whatever to get off the goddamn freeway, right? Uh-huh. And so then, you know, we finally get by the park and there's, you know, they've like, there is at capacity. And I know what had happened was the only reason why they closed is because the fucking fire marshal said, look, motherfuckers, y'all cannot let not one more motherfucker up in this ditch, right? So
use that precise language, of course, right?
That precise language.
Yes.
And so, because you know Disneyland wouldn't have closed otherwise, but the fire marshals came in and said, yo, enough. So what happened, it was actually worked out to our benefit. So we're like, well, Jesus, we drove all the way out here. And then I remember, wait a minute, let's go to Knott's Berry. Let's try Knott's Berry Farm. Dude, We went to Knott's Berry Farm, and it was perfect because after 3 o'clock, it was half priced. And Knott's Berry Farm is always cheaper to Disneyland anyway. And then after 3 o'clock, because it was around that time, because we said, okay, we're going to lunch, blah, blah, blah. And then after 3 o'clock, it's half price. I was like, shit. We had a great lunch. We went to Knott's Berry Farm. I actually came home with money. It was great. But yeah, no, Disneyland, that's when I read that. I sent that article to Bob, and I just like, ignorant motherfuckers. It's just, why you would, and how would they, how would they regulate social distancing? Because did you read the article? Because Bob, was there anything in there about the patrons wearing, only thing they said was the employees wearing masks, but I don't remember seeing anything in there about the patrons or the customers were, you know, the visitors wearing masks. Did you see that anywhere in there?
Nope. I just had an email from Jeremy in Vermont, who noted that 90,000 people is 100% filled at Disney. So if you only allow 1/3 in, that's 30,000 people, and that's still too, as Jeremy puts it, still too many fucking bodies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But let's not, you know, I just saw this come through from the LA Times. Modoc County, California, has defied Gavin Newsom and reopened the whole county. Schools, churches, businesses can reopen starting today as long as people stay 6 feet apart. Heather Hadwick.
Bob.
Yeah.
I've been to Modoc County. My stepson lived in Modoc County. I spent a whole lot of time in Modoc County, and that's really easy. I mean, most of the people there social distance all the freaking time because there's the whole county is there's only 10,000 people and right. You hardly see anybody. And the only time you see anybody is when you go to the store.
Hell, Modoc County could probably separate by 100 feet and they'd still have empty space.
Yeah. So they have, they also have no COVID cases. And Heather Hadwick is the deputy director of the Modoc County Office of Emergency Services. And she said, our businesses are dying and people need to be able to feed their children and pay their rent. We live a different life than the rest of California. We're very rural and naturally socially distanced in our everyday lives. You know?
Hey, Bob, that's where Ferg's going.
One
look
county,
on a map.
One county over.
You're right there.
We don't know. He might be in Siskiyou County.
Siskiyou County.
He's right next to him.
He is in Siskiyou County.
Okay, I'll shoot you a Northern California trivia question. What's the only county in California that doesn't have a stoplight in the entire county?
Modoc?
No.
No, Modoc has one.
Oh, okay.
Don't wait a minute. County? You. So who? Which county doesn't have a stop sign?
Stoplight.
Light.
Red, yellow, green.
I got it. I said stoplight. I corrected.
Yep. It's called Trinity County.
Trinity. Yeah.
Nobody has lights, honey. I said stoplight. Oh my God.
Yeah, and so
But in Weaverville. In Weaverville, they wanted to put a stoplight at the intersection of Highway 3 and 299. And the county board of supervisors told the Caltrans to stick it. They wanted to maintain their status as not having any stoplights in the county.
Well, here's the reality of what's about to happen in Orange County, at least according to the modeling. If these assholes in Orange County get their way and they continue to defy the orders, in 3 months, in 90 days from today, they're looking at 18,000 dead. And they're looking at their 6,448 beds being overwhelmed sometime about May the 10th. And it will continue to climb and then and the downhill side of the curve, they won't get back under those 6,448 beds till about June the 13th.
Because they want to go.
You know, this is every bit as stupid as the maggots who want to mow their snow in Michigan. I'm really sick.
It's in the Constitution.
It's in the Constitution. Right next to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
speaking of mowers, I went out and I purchased an Ego weed eater. Oh, man, is that thing good. You just
does
grab
it. Snow? I just don't know if most snow is barking.
Huh?
Does it most snow?
Nobody will throw dirt like crazy if you string on.
So David in South Carolina stand said, whoopee, people not masking and not distancing, and they never could drive worth a fuck, so here we go. Whoopee, it's like we have a cross between Christmas Eve and the 4th of July. They think the virus is over because McGubna freed their dumb South Carolina asses.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, look, this is a little bit mean, but if you were a healthcare worker, let me see if I can frame this right. Should it be legal to deny healthcare services to anyone who comes down with the Rona and was at, say, that Ted Nugent cosplay riot in Lansing yesterday?
Wait, there was a net. Oh, come on.
I'd say you have to go to the back of the line, Bob. Back of the line.
If you come down with the Rona and you're... If you come down with the... No offense.
Prove it, though.
No offense, Billable. But if somebody from Orange County comes down with the Rona and they were out there today hooting and hollering about wanting to go to the beach, shouldn't it be okay to say, gosh, we're sorry. You did this to yourself.
You don't have a hospital bed for you. It's just not available for you, dude.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Sparky.
On the last word last night, they had this Michigan doctor on there. He talked about how they can track people's cell phones.
Yeah, contact tracing.
And the people that were at that rally, the first rally, they shown they went left and they went home. They went to Michigan.
Who's making all that background noise?
Tracy or Joe?
Yeah, but you were saying that tracing, Sparky.
They were tracing cell phone data from the people that were at those rallies, and the first rally anyway. But I don't know about the ones that were yesterday or today. He said once that rally was over, those people went all over Michigan. They went back to where they were, so it could have spread everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
they'll end up at the hospital at some point.
Why do you think for weeks that I've been calling them bioterrorists? Because they are. I mean, it's that simple.
Every day now we see news articles. It seems like somebody at one of these rallies has come down with COVID-19 or positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I saw this from KCRA. It says several people taken into custody at Capitol protest to reopen California. So they apparently were non-compliant or violent. I'm not sure which. Probably non-compliant.
KCRA is a Sacramento news.
Yeah.
Television station.
Yeah, that's
and some reason.
Have you ever been to the Capitol?
Yeah, the Capitol, state Capitol.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
they had been protesting right at the front, off J Street, I think it is.
Could be. Yeah, they got alphabetical streets there. I almost moved there at one time. But
I went there in 19,
96 for a rally against Pete Wilson on Valentine's Day when he was fucking with prevailing wage.
Okay.
10,000 construction workers showed up. We all rallied on that front lawn and those front steps. And then there was assembly members that came out and spoke to us and did all this stuff. And the same day, they had 25,000 construction workers rally in Los Angeles. Hmm. It was pretty cool. I mean, that was more fun than I ever had in Barrel Monkeys.
Did you guys win? Did you guys defeat the initiative of Wilson or not?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
And Pete Wilson made it so that no other fucking Republican could ever fuck with prevailing wage again.
Yeah, well, he pretty much fucked himself out of office by supporting the that Proposition 38 or whatever the hell it was to deny benefits to undocumented. And the Republicans have not won a statewide election of any consequence since like 1994.
I meant Gray Davis.
Oh, Gray.
Yeah.
Oh, Gray Davis. Okay. Well, he was. He was a moderate, if you want to call it that, or a DLC type of guy. You know.
He's a great guy. I met him once in Sacramento or a meeting I went to when I was a union organizer.
Well, a crazy Republican I talked to at Newport Beach over the phone from Newport Beach yesterday told me that he took bribes from Enron to feather his nest when he agreed to those lucrative power contracts, and it all went south when Enron basically rigged the system and tripled or quadrupled the cost of electricity to California, like in the 90s, and caused early 2000s and Gray Davis out of office right because there. Of that. It was recalled.
All those rolling blackouts.
Rick. And that's what gave us Arnold Schwarzenegger. And the Republicans were really pissed because Arnold wasn't supposed to get it. They had some Tea Party-ish dude who was supposed to get it. And Arnold beat him out. Now, I'm not saying that Arnold was the best governor in the world either.
No. No, but this crazy guy from Newport Beach claims that Gray Davis is like a $20 million mansion in Vail or whatever because of money he took from Enron. laundered by attorneys. Attorneys made certain transactions to, somehow get the money to him. So who knows? I mean, I don't believe the guy. He's kind of a crack, crackpot.
I also shook Gray Davis' hand when he came to the power plant I was working on in Yuba City back in 2000, I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was pretty much a Republican rat fucking that was administered to Gray Davis, really, for the most part.
Well, it was during the Enron.
Yeah, they rigged it. They rigged the system,
They were building gas-fired power plants all over California. I went to work at that one in Yuba City.
Okay.
And he came out to do a visit. And I remember all the work stopped, and they had these fucking State Highway Patrolman up on the HRSIX up on the towers of where the looking out and everything, and we were told just to sit down. If he comes by you, just get up and shake his hand. So he walked right by us, and we got up. He shook everybody's hand, walked on.
Mm. Remember there was a time when you could actually shake somebody's hand. and give him a hug.
Back in 2019, I think, Tracy, wasn't it?
Jesus. Yeah, you can't shake anybody's hand anymore.
You go to the grocery store, it's like everybody's, it's like germ warfare. They've got the 6-foot clearance sign. I mean, you're pushing the shopping cart around the grocery store, and you come, people, person sees you, and they get out of the way.
it's like a COVID dance. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, because I know, because except for in Orange County, obviously, pretty much Californians, are here to, things when somebody says, this is what's going on, you need to do this shit. And the majority of us listen. But, whenever, as I'm, especially when I'm doing my walks in the morning, I did 4.5 miles today. But, you said the COVID dance, you're walking down the street. And people distance themselves automatically. I don't wear a mask when I'm running. I keep it handy. But for the most part, I leave early enough in the morning. What's that background noise? I leave early enough in the morning that I don't really run into people. But once I get into the store, that's a whole nother, you know, Megillah. But Jesus, what are people doing in the States that, you know, don't listen? Are they actually practicing social distancing like we are out here?
Well, the local Safeway store here in Eugene is limiting the number of people in the store, and there's big arrows on the floor. So
that's
theoretically
Oregon.
Yeah, that's Oregon. But
I don't know what I'm saying is that I'm talking about the southern states. I'm
she
talking
wants
about the
to know about the stupid states.
Stupid well,
yeah.
states.
Yeah, but I mean, the one way aisles, people aren't even looking at the goddamn floor. They're all walking the wherever.
Oh,
the
no,
fuck
no.
They
we've
want.
Got one way aisles here now. And people still don't.
We
get
have
it.
Them here too. We
well,
have
and,
them here.
And you know, it's not being dickish, but there's nothing wrong with looking at somebody and saying, "Did you notice the arrows on the floor?"
And if you grab something,
do you have
damn
a
sure better put it in your cart. Don't put it back on the shelf. You know, put it in your cart.
Do you have a buggy sanitizer in your store?
We've got a little.
Yeah.
Wally World has some, you know, you a little pop-up dispenser of Purell wipes, and you're supposed to wipe your cart down.
You're supposed
to. We have this guy with a or gal with a spray bottle, and when they bring the shopping carts back the parking lot, they sanitize all of them, and then they put them inside. People will say, "The sanitized shopping carts are right inside the door, sir."
Right.
Yeah.
That's how it is out here at the Smart and Final. They actually have the section where there's all the where the shopping carts are sanitized. You're only supposed to use those shopping carts because as soon as they come outside, they wipe them down. You know, they bring them back and wipe them down. They wipe down. I mean, like, where does I was at somewhere. Oh, the post office yesterday or the day before. And I mean, it was only me and one other person and the two postal clerks. But I mean, they were wiping down like it was like a madness. It's just crazy how different, you know, because I really haven't gone any further than I go to Ralph's. But I haven't been to a Ralph's, and the only reason I go is because that's where my prescription is. But typically, all my shopping has been at either Smart and Final, Gelson's, or the neighborhood, the Mediterranean Market up the street. Other than that, I haven't really been anywhere else. So, oh, by the way, Bob, happy anniversary.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Tracy.
Yes, Bob.
Thank you very kindly. It's been very low key today, but we're hoping to maybe, you know, feel the sunshine on our shoulders tomorrow or something if the sun shows up.
Yeah. So the only thing Alex requested for his birthday today was cheesecake. So I'm going to attempt to make a cheesecake, but in the event that the cheesecake winds up sucking, I did buy a backup cheesecake.
Backup cheesecake is good.
Just
where's your confidence in your baking skills, Tracy? Come on.
My I have a shit ton of confidence when it comes to baking, but apparently.
Hey, did you do the butternut squash like I told you?
No, as a matter of fact, I have been so crazy busy that I haven't had a chance to do shit other than you know, helping people, and I did that slide. I actually taught myself PowerPoint the other day to do the slideshow, and so my life has just been trying to get people to get on to this unemployment and doing the research for the unemployment and actually trying not to kill motherfuckers when they question me, because you know there's always you know how there's always that one person that no matter what you do, they got shit to say, and they're just so petty, and they think that you're coming after their job that they try to clown you. And this person is I'm dealing with right now, and I'm like, first of all, bitch, I don't work for the company, so when you come for me, I can cuss you out and there will be no retribution because I don't work for the company. But it's just that this person reminded me why I don't work in why I cannot work in corporate America. I play very well with others. I get along well with people, but I don't do well with people who are stupid, which henceforth why I can't work in corporate America, because most of the motherfuckers that you deal with are stupid. That part. And plus, I don't want to have to go to work, because more than likely, when I do go back to work, if I work in corporate America, my supervisor will more than likely be a millennial. And I can't.
You want to be a therapist, don't you, Tracy? Isn't that your goal?
No. Okay. What I'm working to try to do, what I really want to do is cultural sensitivity training, basically how to teach white people how to actually be real allies. That's what I want to do. Okay. And so, you know, I know I could do it. I actually found somebody that does it, and I'm going to contact them to say, this is what I want to do. Can you guide me? Blah, 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 and go from there. But yeah, I want to help people, but from on my terms.
That's cool.
So that.
By the way,
I want to be able to cuss people out if I want.
We'll roll back to food porn in a moment. But I got a note from Shorty, and Shorty just finished off the Bruce's Memorial Challenge. So thank you, Shorty. On the 1st of April, Los Angeles County had 79 deaths from COVID. 1 month later, we have total deaths as of April 1st, 79. Total deaths as of May 1st, 1,172. 62 new deaths in L.A. County as of today. 106 positive pregnant women, 22 babies born healthy, sadly one infant death. On a really good note from the county briefing, well, today, they are now using the term virus shedding. Now they have to explain that term to those people who know damned well it takes sand forever to leave. No thank you, beach dwellers. Yeah. Shorty ain't holding back.
I didn't think about that with the sand getting stuck in you. Yeah, that's a really good point.
One thing I've noticed, I visited when we were looking for our German Shepherd puppy, we like went all over hell. We went like south to Temecula, north to LA County, went to the valley, you know, went to Whittier where we ultimately got the puppy. But, driving on the Hollywood Freeway, I noticed there appeared to be more and more, you know, encampments for homeless people, like literally along the freeway, people would just, you know, pitch a tarp or whatever. It's really very sad. Lots more homelessness. Those are the folks who are most prone to getting COVID as well, I think, you know?
So far here in Eugene, Oregon, the homeless population doesn't have a case here in Eugene that I've been able to locate.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
Oh, by the way, going back to the Gray Davis stuff. James in Illinois writes in, and James was in California for a long time and deeply into the labor movement. James says, Gray Davis didn't take bribes. He got fucked by Enron.
That bribe story came from Republican ratfucker from Newport right. Beach, so there you go.
And with a great observation, James notes, the virus is the best organizer. You want to be free of the union because dues are expensive, or do you want to live?
But union dues aren't that expensive.
No, they aren't. That's just what the idiots say, Roger. Yeah, I don't want you to force me to pay for union dues.
It's in the Constitution.
Yeah, I ain't got to be in no union. It's in the Constitution. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right to work.
Lady B.
Well,
asked.
I'll tell you one great thing about the IBW union dues. The basic dues you pay, if you're an A-ticket member like I was, you get a retirement pension out of it. And I've already made back more than I ever paid in union dues.
Ta-da! By the way, Lady
Sparky,
B just... Lady B just said, did Tracy just say they're reopening a fucking theme park? Not just any, but fucking Disney World? Yeah, Disney World, Florida. Lady B says, I should just cover myself in fucking bubble wrap. Well, at least you're a long way from
Rick,
Florida.
Rick, I'll never tell you. Stop telling me how good unions are.
No, I know. I know.
I've
I know,
got Sparky. Three freaking pensions from the IBEW.
Damn, that's good. Who gets pensions anymore? You
know, yeah, you know, Sparky, hey. I mean, that's something that's got to come back. And, you know, it would be nice if the next round of legislation would have something built into that. You know, here's a perfect opportunity with what's going on with all these high risk. Everybody that's doing all the high risk work to keep this society afloat, at least somewhat, they're all underpaid, massively underpaid. And, you know, hopefully there could be some kind of movement around that. And maybe some legislation put forth. But, you know, would Nancy and Chuck be willing to jump on that bandwagon? I don't know. Their bread has never been buttered by unions, right?
I caught something earlier today that there's a couple of legislators in the next coronavirus bill. They're talking about like a $15 an hour federal payment to all workers that were considered essential, including all hospitals, grocery clerks, agricultural workers, et cetera. I think with a $15 an hour.
Well, truckers make more than that anyway, right? So it's not.
And it's $15 an hour up until you were being paid $50,000 a year. And maybe it died at $50,000 a year. But for the very low-end workers, it was like a $15 an hour bonus on the bill, sort of like the unemployment number was. On top of what you make. Now, see, my youngest boy works in the meat counter at the local Safeway store. And he was making like $13 an hour. They've now given him a $2 an hour raise during the crisis. But if he were to get a $15 an hour bonus, he'd all of a sudden be making $30 an hour. And he is the seafood lead at the meat counter. And he's only making $15 an hour. What the fuck kind of wage is that?
Wait a minute.
For somebody that's considered as an essential worker.
See, this is the bullshit because I used to be a cashier at Ralph's. It's been over 30 years. But when I left Ralph's in, 1990, because I left when Alex was two. I started there for 91 because I had gotten my 5-year pen. I left there making $17 an hour in motherfucking 1990 or whatever. 1991. What the entire fuck? He's only making $13 an hour at a grocery store?
Yep. And he's in a union.
Right. I was local 770 UFCW, United Food and Commercial Workers Union.
Well, that tells you everything.
Yeah, but they lost a lot of their power over the years.
Oh, I can imagine. And that's why, I find it utterly disgusting that that's the case. Oh, speaking of disgusting, yo, Bob, did you watch the Typhoid Mary video yet?
Oh, yeah. I already knew her story.
Well, see, I didn't know her story, but I love drunk history. If you guys get a chance, Google drunk history Typhoid Mary. That shit is hilarious.
What does she have to do with being drunk?
No. Okay. So the premise behind drunk history is, so there's a host and then there's somebody celebrity and they're discussing historical moments while drinking. Mm. So hence drunk history. So, you know, so they have maybe about, they're probably, depending on the person, they might be 3 or 4 cocktails in by the time they finish the story.
Oh, I see. That sounds great.
That has probably become much more popular in this era of stay-at-home orders and so forth.
Well, actually, the drunk history episode that aired just was in response to COVID-19 because they did it on March the 20th. They did it. I mean, like I said, I did not realize her story that she was the first asymptomatic person to carry a disease that they know of. And so, you know, because I knew a Typhoid Mary. I just, you know, figured, you know, I always said, like I told, called my sister Typhoid Mary when they thought that she, you know, when she was cleared from not having COVID. So I could fuck with her at that point, because when they found out when she got sick, she had been down here in my house. And I'm like, oh, motherfucker, goddamn it, Typhoid Mary. And so, but she was fine. You know, it was just her. She's always had upper respiratory issues. But so I never knew this whole story behind her. And that even though they told her to fucking not do what she was, that to stop cooking and wash your fucking hands, she did what she wanted to do anyway. So I think not only was she the first asymptomatic disease carrier, she was actually probably the first maggot.
Yeah. Her behavior was exactly the same as the maggots are today.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what to do. I know you're sick. I know I'm sick, but doesn't matter because I want to do what I want to do. And hey, fuck Bob, everybody else.
Can you give yourself a reprieve and do like a 3-hour, you know, one show night of that on the Roman Empire?
How so?
Drunk history?
Oh, yeah.
get your swirly straw and
yeah,
tequila.
We could have a blast. Or maybe go sake with it.
There you go.
Yeah. We got to get back to food porn.
Did you guys see the pictures I just sent them of the spring rolls? That were absolutely delicious, by the way.
What kind of sauce?
Are you on the radio?
Yeah, Alex, my son is yelling at me. Are you on the radio? Don't be telling me.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Because everybody's telling you happy birthday, Alex. Happy birthday. That's thank you. No, he's mad because
what kind of sauce?
Those look good.
Oh, they're
what
so
kind
good.
Of sauce comes with it, Tracy?
No sauce came with it, but I used, and I always can't pronounce it, hoisin.
Hoisin
sauce. So we had some hoisin sauce.
Which, by the way, I was telling my daughter about this the other day. When you make meatloaf, you know how people usually top it with that ketchup-y, yuck. Hoisin sauce on meatloaf.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm getting my grocery list ready, and Alex broke out the hoisin, and I'm like, and there was hardly any in it. And I'm like, wait, I know nobody. I haven't made anything lately that I need the hoisin sauce. And he's like, well, kind of sheepishly, I've been using it for my top ramen. I'm like, okay. So he mixes it with the hoisin and the sriracha, so it kind of tastes like fa, fo, fi, fo, di, whatever. So I'm like, okay, so now I have to remember to get hoisin sauce and more stuff at the house. And they still don't have the good toilet paper yet.
Hey, I scored yesterday.
What?
I got a big pack of Charmin Mega Rolls at Dollar General.
Nice. Okay, see, before Jan, you know, Jan has definitely, I have some newfound privileges now that I'm with my wife. So before Jan, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, I thought I was pissing in high cotton just from having 2-ply toilet paper. But no. You know, there's 3-ply toilet paper.
Oh my God,
bougie!
I'm sure plumbing doesn't like that.
No, I mean no, it's fine. It's northern. Really? Northern extra whatever. It's 3-ply toilet paper. Huh? It's quilted, and it's. I miss it so because now. I mean, because I did find some Charmin, and we're almost out of the Charmin. So, because remember, I told you guys I bought a case of toilet paper when all this first happened. And we still have some Northern, and I found some Charmin. But because Jan's like, I don't really want to use. I said, baby, if we don't find Charmin, if we don't find Northern or Charmin, we're going to have to break it down and use this other toilet paper. She's like, I don't know what. I'm like, now you're being ridiculous because, dude, it's toilet paper. And plus, we got the Cottonelle wet wipes or flushable wipes. So, you know, I'm like, this deal with is this wiping your ass for God? Again, she doesn't know she doesn't understand what it feels like to have to struggle. She knows.
Six weeks without using toilet paper. I'm still on the zest in a shower routine.
Wow. Yeah. Funny. No, my mother.
But you don't have to anymore, do you?
Toilet paper matters.
I like it. I'm used to it now. It's the habit.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here. I just posted in the Skype chat room last night's dinner. I smoked some salmon a while back in my glass door smoker, and it was really, really tasty. And then I found a recipe that talked about smoked salmon ravioli.
Whoa.
And so we pulled out the pasta maker and made up the flour and rolled it all out. And my wife and I decided that we're getting some kind of a machine to help make the raviolis. Because I'll tell you, rolling out the pasta dough and putting the little dollops on and then covering it over and then gluing them together and getting the air out and then slicing them with the pizza roller and da-da-da-da-da-da-da is one big pain in the ass. However, the chard in that center plate came out of the garden and got sautéed up. And the smoked salmon with feta cheese raviolis were fantastic. So it's just a COVID-19 dinner for us, staying at home and having a shitload of time to screw around and play whatever it does to deal with it. And we're still not quite following the total shelter in place, because the oldest boy and his wife and the kids, they're being really, really good. She hasn't left the house except to come here for about 4 weeks. He goes out and does the shopping, and the 2-year-old and the 5-year-old don't have any contact. And since I'm not having any contact, my wife's not having any contact other than absolute necessity where we mask and glove up, we figure it's kind of safe to get together for family dinners. But anyhow, that's my food porn for this Friday night.
Nice.
Lovely.
Well, I'm getting ready to make a bourbon chocolate banana bread.
All I can tell you is that pint of that coconut, that vegan coconut milk chocolate ice cream is in the freezer, and Agnes and I are going to anniversary the hell out of that thing once the program's over.
That's excellent.
And
you guys gonna watch any program or not, Bob?
Yeah, we'll keep watching Bosch.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a good show. But the thing is, while I was picking up the pint of chocolate, she kindly provided me with her a taste of her vegan strawberry ice cream. And again, it's nothing but strawberries, coconut milk, and sugar.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Oh, my God.
Whatever that picture was that just came across was amazing looking. What was that?
That was the ravioli.
My mac and cheese.
Oh, that was your mac and cheese. Oh. Wow. So, but I got to thinking, you get some of that strawberry coconut milk ice cream in a blender.
And you pour in the
dark rum.
Ooh.
And you're in a...
We're on the same page. That's a...
You're in a very special place. Yes.
I'm just thinking about that. What you said is coconut ice cream, coconut milk ice cream.
Yeah, it's vegan ice cream. I ate something vegan and I enjoyed it. Amazing.
Well, I'm thinking about it. When you said rum, now I'm thinking about that mixed with coconut rum.
The coconut is strong enough. You don't even need the coconut or the rum.
Ooh.
Maybe go with some Sailor Jerry spiced rum just to get that extra vanilla kick.
I have that.
Just to get that extra, you know, vanilla flavor into it. Oh, it'd be good.
We have so much alcohol in my house that we don't even drink.
You're missing a great opportunity. And besides, alcohol is a disinfectant. You can't drink bleach, but you can
inject it properly.
You can't drink bleach, but you can drink alcohol.
Speaking of, has anybody seen the
I got a cowbell, Agnes, because just now coming through the wall, stop encouraging alcoholism, Bob.
What was the point of this program?
I want to reach out to Joey because I know that I know where Joey works, and I'd kind of like his take on like the coming stock of hand sanitizer.
Is he still here?
Joey, there?
Yeah, I'm still here. What was hand sanitizer? What was that now?
Yeah, what's the lowdown on national hand sanitizer inventory?
Well, it's right up there with toilet paper, 3-ply. Can't get it.
Yeah, but I mean, you said a while back that y'all had moved to running 3 shifts, didn't you?
Oh yeah, they're still going crazy. They just can't keep up with the demand. They're not going to be able to. They do the best they can, but
so right now, is it just all going to like vital locations like hospitals and meatpacking plants?
Well, frankly, Bob, people are drinking it. The Trumpers are drinking this shit. So, you know how they are. So,
I mean, I got a gallon jug for $60 this week. But they hadn't even put any, it's just pure liquid. They hadn't put any gelling agent in it.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is, yeah, they're working 3 shifts. They're getting as much of the stuff out as they can, 7 days a week. And I still, I'm in transportation at the main facility. They don't make anything or ship anything of any, that's out in the factories, which are, there's 3 of them. In the suburbs, but the guy, the shipping clerk I work with, I mean, he's just pulling his hair out, trying to take orders left and right, and I try to help him fill the orders, and it's just like, by noon every day, it's like, we're fucked. We just don't have the inventory to get them out to the people who want it. So,
okay, so as the maggots rise, because this came onto the show. And I haven't been listening, but did anybody cover the fact that bitch Betsy DeVos is being sued because she's seizing people's wages during COVID-19, even though there was supposed to be a moratorium on debt collecting for student loans?
I didn't hear about this, Tracy.
That evil Christian.
Oh God, DeVos sued for seizing student loans borrowers' wages during pandemic. That fucking see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, but what's the chance of that lawsuit going anywhere? Or
no, she's been sued before, and plaintiffs won.
No shit. Even on this,
yeah, Jay, because one of it was because there was supposed to be the loan relief for people who after they worked, like if they were working in charities or in schools or stuff like that, their loans were supposed to be forgiven if they work, like for in case, like in instance, my brother, he's been working, not only is he a teacher, but he's been working in low income neighborhoods, and his loan was supposed to be forgiven because they did that thing back when Obama was president, and if you worked X amount of years and within those 10 years or whatever the case may be, your loans were supposed to be forgiven. And he didn't know about it. So I told him about the program and he wrote in and, did everything that he was supposed to do. And they're like, oh, no, you were supposed to do a certain thing that nobody knew about. And so out of the people that applied for the loan forgiveness, only maybe 2%. And I'm not even trying. Maybe 2% got approved. Out of like hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah. And then
But in Trump maggot stand, anything the black guy passed or did is now null and void, right?
Right. Well, then, and also there was the other one with the when there was absolute proof that the school was fraud and and deception, and the schools were basically all these for profit schools. And so they were supposed to, people was automatically supposed to get their loans forgiven as well. And then they had to sue her for that as well. And they won because it's like, this is the law, but exactly. It's like, and the fact that they had to sue to get their, I'm still not knowing what's happening with the loan forgiveness for, people who've worked in nonprofit organizations and stuff like that. I think they're still battling with that part, but the ones for the student loans for the people who had, loans from schools that were just bogus, their loans are, they won that lawsuit.
So,
oh,
Tracy, the Disneyland? Oh, go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just going to toss out one more story that I think is worth pondering as we head into the weekend. And that is this business about the FDA fast-tracking the emergency use of remdesivir. That's the antiviral that was developed by that ironically, bizarrely named company Gilead, straight out of a Handmaid's Tale. This is so dodgy. This is so sketchy. You might remember last week I had the story out of the leak of the draft report on an actual double-blinded controlled study of remdesivir, and it showed no benefit to anybody at all relative to COVID-19. Now this was a study with an actual control group. Well, that study included a quote from a spokes creep for Gilead, who said, "Well, that's really not fair, them using science and everything. We've got a totally unscientific study coming that doesn't have a control group, and it's going to show that remdesivir is awesome." So
like the Lego movie, everything's awesome?
Yeah, so Gilead hustles out this study this week, and it shows that some people get helped by remdesivir.
It shortens it by 4 days, supposedly.
Yeah, of course, there's no control group, so it's not really science.
Fauci's pushing that, Bob.
And so now, that's the whole thing. So now Fauci's out there hustling it, and he's doing that in large part because of the way, because of the life experience he had when he was slow walking HIV drugs back in the 80s. And he's also doing it because Trump for Brains is out there hooting about how we're going to have a vaccine and we're going to have a cure. Can I just point out the fact that HIV has burned all over the planet for 35 years and there's still no vaccine? Because vaccines are very difficult. And so remdesivir is the new Clorox, which was the new hydroxychloroquine. It's another thing that's not gonna work. And it's been insufficiently studied. We have no idea on side effects. We have no idea on toxicities. Nothing.
Hey, Bob, I have a theory on this. Do you think that Trump is gonna keep promising these miracle cures leading up to the election, so that he can just keep the news cycle talking? Oh, Trump's
This is 1968, and Nixon saying, "I have a plan to end the Vietnam War."
Yeah,
but I won't tell you unless you elect me president.
Great analogy.
We had to bomb the shit out of Vietnam to end in North Vietnam to end the so-called end of the Vietnam War.
And so with this new study, They're claiming, well, it shortens recovery times by an average of 31% in the study conducted by the federal government. Yeah, but it's not a real study. It's not going to be peer-reviewed. It's not getting nothing. It might as well be Clorox.
And there Bob goes again with his little ray of fire.
Well, that's my damn job.
Reality spoken here, Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, I don't want to end the show before I get my Disneyland joke out. I'm sure probably everybody's heard it, but I got to say it anyway. So what were the grounds for Mickey filing divorce with Minnie?
Oh, I know this one. The judge looks at
she was fucking goofy.
Yeah, the judge looks at the file and says, "So, Mr. Mouse, I see that you're divorcing Ms. Minnie Mouse on the grounds of insanity." And Mickey says, "Oh no, Your Honor, I said she's fucking goofy."
Yeah, there you go. You said it better. Yeah.
Somehow I knew the punchline to that, but I didn't know how you get from point A to point B exactly.
Well, Bob's here to help you out, Rick.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, fucking goofy. That's definitely in the lexicon.
Yeah, but honey, this one's eating my popcorn. That's another one of my favorite punchlines. Right up there with wrecked him, damn near killed him. and as we head out a little valedictory from Lady B, I love this group. Everybody is so wonderful. Mr. Rogers said to look around for the helpers, and although I can't see them, I can hear them. Who would have thunk the grizzled-sounding former electrician and current stoner nicknamed Sparky would have such progressive ideas? He was the head of his union, and the two successful lawyers, Rick and Steve in New York, they could look down on us middle class, but they're warm and friendly and share our passion. Tracy's a helper. Jude is a helper. Suman is a helper. Steve from Georgistan gives helpful advice. We got well-read scholars like Steve and Polymath Flavio. Dan the Man in Hollywood Land. Todd, Shorty, Reggie, Darlene, and Dear Charlie. Tom, all the kisses. Don't forget my radio peeps. Scott in California, you know us radio folks have the best memories. And Bob, what song has the lyric, "While she looks at you so coolly, and her eyes shine like the moon in the sea, she comes in incense and patchouli, so you take time to find what's waiting inside." That's your favorite, I know, Bob. It's always good to know what your friend's favorite song is. "I'm just sentimental and grateful," Lady B says. "Stay healthy. Stay safe. Stay sane, y'all. I'm going back to work." Man, we live in interesting times. Signed, Lady B. And she says, "I know I forgot folk, hung like Jesus, so many more. I enjoy and care for you all." And that in a nutshell is the beauty of this community, this conversation. It's so very special. All of you are, and I want to thank all of you for joining in, carrying on the conversation. The conversation can, of course, continue after I'm gone. I just need to get the file uploaded, and Agnes and I are going to jump into that pint of ice cream. So thanks all of you who jumped in to meet Bruce's memorial challenge. Thank you to Laborman and Ralphs and our anonymous friend who put the challenge together at the first of every month. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation, in whatever manner you so do. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky for moderating all these many years the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, It's all for you. Stay safe. Stay home if you can. Stay sane. Avoid anyone wearing a red hat or a Trump t-shirt or anyone gurgling about freedom or reopen or liberate, because those are disease-bearing vermin, and they don't care who they kill. Have a great weekend, y'all. Someday we'll get back to knowing what weekends actually are. Later.